gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Is it ever? 6 minutes after the hour. Why? Because it's Friday, and some people call him the Sperminator.
Oh, God.
Good morning, children.
Sexy liberal and new daddy, John Fugelsang.
Yeah.
Henry Jack is here. He was born on Monday.
Henrik Jakob Fugelsang.
Congratulations, yep. Daddy.
Thank you very much. Thank you. He's horrible. It's a horrible experience. It's every bit as awful as they say.
Yep.
And I'm sorry I ever did it. I really got to be honest with you. It's just as bad as they say.
Yes.
Thank you. It's it's a real blessing. A real blessing.
As a cautionary tale, since you'll mostly be on the road with me for Sexy Liberal.
When you coming home, Dad?
Never. Going to Albuquerque.
Is this the ugly kid Joe grunge version?
No, this is the real version.
Yeah, it was pretty appalling. We were in Washington Square Park on Sunday. We brought the cat out to the park because that's what we do because we're freaks. And and she began saying that she feels lousy and that was actually labor. And we wound up having 22
Yikes.
Hours of labor. And I got more sleep during the 22 hours of labor than I got last night as first night at home.
Oh, boy.
But we went and God bless the wonderful staff at Roosevelt Hospital in New York City. And we had a C-section and he's a hideous looking little thing that looks like an old man alien dwarf.
He does not.
He does not.
We put up a beautiful picture of you and Henry Jack on our Facebook page.
That's
so
right.
Check it out.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, and he's named Henry Jack after Henry Miller and my father because I figure that will cover all the entire spectrum of male behavior and deviancy.
Awesome. Awesome. And so now you're in our world of morning radio where you've had virtually no sleep.
Exactly.
Morning
I've
radio,
been up.
Have a baby. Either way.
I've been up since 3, so it's a pleasure to be here with you young and just waking up. So. Start sending me more show prep, Chris.
Yeah.
Congratulations, honey. That's very,
thank you
very
so much.
Exciting. Let's hear it for our sexy liberal. I think, and I think several other women were probably just impregnated just from listening to a liberal man when you sang that in Chicago with the Chicago Blues.
Well, I'll tell you something. I can get a woman pregnant by looking at her.
Yeah.
And it was really a pleasure to be back in Chicago. I know we talked about it last week, but what an audience you had for that show. And really just a dynamite show. And I'm so excited to go to Albuquerque with this thing because I can get away from a screeching incubus.
Well, and, you know, once again, when are you coming home, Daddy? When? Why must you be on the road with that slag? Madison, now you're in Madison. Now you're Minneapolis. Okay. Boston, fine, Dad. L.A., sure. Mm-hmm.
I know. I'm going to strap them on my back like Yoda in Empire Strikes Back and just run around. But it's great. We tried to think of what was the most horrible name you could possibly give a child and came up with Adolf Judas Kardashian.
Oh, wow.
Awesome. Sorry you didn't go with that. That's too bad.
Well, you know, he's going to blame me for everything anyway, so I'm going to screw him up creatively. That's my plan.
By the way, so you know, I already called you this morning to ask where you're registered because I was talking to Lisa this morning, and I, as you know, I, being a childless loser, I literally, Chris, I've been through this before.
Right.
When I have friends that have babies, I have no idea what to get a baby because I'm just completely impaired
you
in every way
Lowe's
as a woman.
For...
I swear to God, my old co-host on
Oxygen.
Yeah,
go to
Oxygen.
Home Depot.
Here, kid, have an anvil.
I'm telling you, my old co-host on Oxygen in New York, a co-worker got pregnant, and we were literally at a hardware store. We're like, what do you buy a baby? What does a baby like? Doesn't a baby like an axe? No.
Socket wrenches?
No? Get him a nice fruit basket. Do that.
Yes. That's really... I remember... Oh, you remember our affiliate person? On one trip, I bought it because she'd had a something. It was a child of some sort.
Yeah.
And I literally was asking the woman, I'm like, the child is...
One, big.
And I said, how big is it? Does it walk? Does it eat? What size thing does it take?
You get upset when people call your dogs it, and you're calling the baby it?
I don't know.
That's fair, Chris. That's very fair.
Well, in German, it's grammatically correct. It's das Kind, so it's technically
it.
Yes.
Well, you count in the months, I know, for many years, and it's hard to tell really what it is and at what point it's... All right.
God.
I'll get something cute. Don't worry.
Yeah, you know what? All you need to... I just give him Xanax and hand it to me, and I'll get it to him.
Father of the year, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, John
yeah,
Peterson, yep.
We're going to be moving back to L.A. very soon, I think, because I'll tell you, the neighbors and the walls in New York City, it's kind of like,
yikes.
Well, that, yeah, and really... I told him he needs to get his pretty face here for the current cameras.
Exactly. And, you know, like, I live next to a crackdown on one side and a call goal ring on the other side, and I don't want to disturb them at night.
No.
Heading back to California soon.
With all your family values.
That sounds so Sex in the City glamorous, John.
Isn't it? It's ripped from the headlines, I'll tell you.
Well, you obviously, John Fugelsang did not follow the new Gingrich strategy. Gingrich says virtually no chance he'll pull out.
But I do plan on abandoning them later, so it's okay. I'm still Gingrichian.
Yeah, he said, I'll be with you in Tampa. When asked about his plans, when asked if what conditions would lead him to withdraw from the race, he said probably none, frankly.
That guy is hanging on like Abe Vigoda.
No. Well, you know what they were saying? It's because he really honestly hates Mitt Romney so much because of the negative ads that they ran against him.
Oh, I think it's deeper than that. I think he is so driven to finally have a little bit of dignity and respect from the party that despises him for humiliating them that I think he's really hanging on to his 200 delegates just to have a scintilla of power at the convention. That's all this is about. And he thinks he's going to be getting respect. He's really just going to be getting people, you know, being blackmailed by him. And it's going to really destroy his career because he only ran for president for higher public speaking fees in the first place. And now he's alienated anybody who would ever pay him to come speak.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Nicely done. Nicely played, sir.
And the Obama campaign. Thank you.
No, I know. Well, that's the point is that, you know, Frothy's right on that. If he would get out, it would help Frothy enormously.
That's right.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And they know it, too, because as Gingrich likes to say, when he was bragging that he won by losing the other night because Romney came in third.
It's a Charlie Sheen kind of winning. It's a duh winning.
If you're Mitt Romney and you eat grits and you get Kid Rock and Jeff Foxworthy to campaign for you and you learn to say y'all and you still come in third and you outspend the other guys 2-1 combined and you still lose, Mitt's not used to being told no.
He's getting a little testy, isn't he? So now he's trying the, okay, so I am rich. So?
When you can shock Megyn Kelly with how gauche you are in a Fox studio, you know
you're interested. I made a lot of money.
Can you sound like a Richard Douche? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Can you make people hate you even more?
By denying he was born into it and was left gazillions that he gave to his kids so he can brag and say his parents left him nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
I suspect Callista's going to leave Gingrich if he doesn't win and be the first time the wife actually leaves Gingrich.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Oh, she's already slamming shots with Mrs. Limbaugh, I'm sure.
The Gingrich voters are abandoning him, and he can't believe they would do such a thing after he's been so loyal to them.
Yeah, exactly. You know, here we are in these headlines, though. Chances of a brokered convention. Santorum said, one of my opponents recently said it would take an act of God for me to win this primary. I agree with him, he told a congregation at an evangelical church. Yeah, I mean, that was one of the big things, John, in the Alabama, Mississippi. 80% in the exit poll were evangelical or born again, Christian, yeah. I mean, evangelical.
Right.
That means his win's not an act of God, it's an act of homophobia.
and also the anti-Mormonism, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know about that, because keep in mind Santorum is a Catholic. So, you know, and it let's give some credit to our conservative brothers and sisters on the evangelical side. They are voting for, they have two Catholics and a Mormon to choose from.
Right.
And they're still showing up to vote. God bless them.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Turnout was pretty shockingly low.
Uh-huh. And President Obama's, you know, got really high turnout. He's running unopposed,
right.
And Democrats are still showing up to vote for him.
Yeah.
So, Sam, these are the fun facts on the brokered convention possibility. Santorum would have to win nearly 70% of the remaining delegates in order to secure the nomination. As long as Romney is in the race, that's close to impossible. Although you never know the size of your Santorum surge until it happens, do you?
Oh, it gets all over the place.
Right. On the other hand, Romney needs to get nearly half the remaining delegates in order to win the nomination, so there is a chance Santorum could block him and force a broker convention, none of the candidates reach
block
that number.
Block Santorum. That sounds dangerous.
Yeah, really.
You don't want to have a blockage of that.
Yeah, don't get backed up.
Because then he gets a clot. But you know what? That would be the worst thing in the world for us liberals, because then what would they do? They would turn around and they would nominate a fresh new face to have wave of enthusiasm for the fall, and I like watching them destroy each other much better.
Well, yeah, I mean, okay, so to do it, Santorum would have to basically sweep all the big states. Left Illinois next week. He's not on the ballot in a few districts. Mm-hmm. That's the other problem with money and organization. He needs upsets in Wisconsin and Maryland April 3rd, plus a sweep of New York and Pennsylvania at the end of the month. In May, he'd need to win big on the 8th, Indiana, West Virginia, North Carolina. Hope that gives him enough momentum to win three of the five contests on June 5th. One of those winds would have to be either Jersey or California. So all of that, they say, would cripple Romney heading into Tampa. Is it likely? Not really, but not impossible either. I mean,
but it's amazing when you think about it, because it's all due to the fact that Mitt Romney is so hateful that Rick Santorum is doing so well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right, John. Even at this point, you look at Obama's crowds, where there's this montage of how many people yell, I love you, every time he speaks. Have you ever seen that at any of the smatterings for Mitt Romney or any of these guys?
Mittmentum. Yeah.
Yay. Woo, Freebird.
Guess what? I made a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. Rich. I'm going to get myself a pair of khakis without pleats.
I'm a wild man. So go ahead.
Oh, no, it really is fantastic, and it's amazing to see this kind of disarray. I know somewhere Mitt Romney is on his knees praying that George W. Bush doesn't endorse him, but I do think that Mitt's going to get a lot more endorsements. They're all just going to, you're going to see the entire establishment coalesce to crush the evangelical base, and it's a great lesson for everybody who has a conservative evangelical Republican in their life. This is a great object lesson to show them how the Republican Party really works. It is run by Wall Street and their shills, and they tell evangelicals what they want to hear so they'll vote, and all they do is cut taxes for the wealthy. That's all they ever accomplish. Look at 8 years of Bush, 6 years of the Republicans controlling the House, the Senate, and the White House.
It's like
all they do is cut taxes for the wealthy and tell evangelicals what they want to hear, and we, my friends, are seeing a schism.
Yeah, exactly. It's as your hero Chris Matthews says of Mitt Romney, he's like a hairball. They can't cough him up and they can't swallow him.
Fair enough.
He is as sincere as a group emailing from Phoenix University.
By the way, can I just say that cat, that the picture of the your cat with the baby, that's a little ominous. That cat does not
what
have
the
a
hell
kindly
is this
look
thing?
On its face.
Awesome. It's awesome. The cat's horrified, which is as it should be.
Yeah, that is an ominous picture of the cat looking at Henry Jack.
It was just like stereo, the two of them crying and yelping all night. My God.
Oh, awesome. Boy.
Horrible beast.
Awesome. And I'm still not over my cat allergies despite having three giant air cleaners in my house.
Really?
Yeah. So I feel your pain. Maybe Henry Jack and I will escape together.
I told him this morning, I said, little baby, the last time I stayed up till sunrise, it involved a lot of sex and drugs, and thank God those days are past. It was so horrible.
All right, 18 minutes after the hour, back with more Fridays with new daddy, John Fugelsang, on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, I don't believe it. This is too good to be real. Of course this is real.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. John, wake up. 24 minutes after the hour. Fridays with John Fugelsang saying, what?
I'll change it.
New daddy. How much baby poo have you seen so far?
You know what? The baby poo I can handle. I've just done 2 straight years of cat hospice, so I clean up poo and vomit in my sleep.
Aww.
The poo is. If you've lived with a lot of pets, you don't really mind that part of it. It's just the screeching. It really is. It sounds like the band Cradle of Filth in my house all night long. It's just appalling. Yeah.
I called you this morning and already heard that. And I'm like, I'm used to that just coming from my box, from my sound effect. Oh, that's real. You have a real one. Oh.
Yeah. It was our first night bringing him home last night. And my God, I was just, I came down to come to the studio this morning here at the Anne Frank suite you give me here.
Yes.
At the Boo Radley room.
Yes.
And I was so grateful to be in the subway where it was quiet.
Quiet and clean.
Yes.
All right. And then, as we know, March 31st. The sun will be home with the cat in the cradle being clawed.
Yes.
While John Fugelsang will be in Albuquerque with Mama for Sexy Liberal. Tickets going literally very fast.
Yes.
In the single digits, I believe, what is left in Albuquerque. So hurry, March 31st. And then, for some reason, L.A. went insane yesterday, John Fugelsang. That's not till July.
This is a special call out to all you L.A. progressives out there. A short distance dedication. The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming back to Hollywood, California.
Holy Hollywood.
L.A., show me love up in the club.
On Saturday, July 28th, The world-famous Pantages Theater will host our generation's greatest comedy trio with John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and featuring radio and television star Stephanie Miller. Tickets are currently available online at Ticketmaster.com, at the Pantages Theater box office, or by calling 1-800-745-3000. A portion of the evening's proceeds will be donated to the Trevor Project. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, July 28th at the Pantages Theater. The countdown to the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour's Los Angeles return starts now.
Wahoo! Yay! All right, so, yeah, because by the way, Roland has lots of people on Facebook were asking if we're doing a Friday show.
Confused says no.
And I am the non-Romney on this tour because I have finally found my principles that I'm not doing two shows. I'm just not doing it because the tour is killing me. Thank God John Fugelsang's son has been born, because he and Hal's sons will be, of course, doing the tour with me in the year.
25-25?
Yes.
That brutal one day a month will be covered by our kids, yes.
Exactly. All right, so yes, one show only in every city, so hurry, tickets going fast in a lot of cities. So sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook, so there. Wendy in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, first off, John, congratulations.
Thank you, it's horrible.
Welcome to the world of parenting. I have a 17 and a 13-year-old. I haven't slept in 17 years. So
awesome, yep. It's just going to drive me to be more deviant, thank you.
It'll enrich your character, indeed. Listen, hot off the press. I live in Arlington Heights,
yes,
in the suburbs. I just found out Rick Santorum is going to be two places walking distance from my house, Hersey High School at 2 p.m. today, Christian Liberty Academy on Euclid. People, get out. Rick Santorum, Arlington Heights, two spots today. Let's protest.
Awesome. Nice. I hope somebody brings a frothy the Santorum sign like they did at the CNN debate.
In Mesa,
I'm going
yeah
to the store now to get my supplies.
Ruffy Santorum.
Thank you, Wendy. Thank you. Yeah, I can. John, we can always tell our people, can't we? That's one of ours.
Mm-hmm. Yes, our
sir
people, we can tell. Yes.
That's our people. Really immature.
Oh, the ones being escorted out by the ushers.
That's
our people.
My person. Yes. All right. Mittens on the campaign trail yesterday.
My message of jobs and the economy is what's winning for me.
Sure.
I've got a million more votes from citizens than anyone else in this race.
Mm.
And the reason for that is I'm talking about my expertise in the economy and how I'm going to get the economy growing, put people back to work,
in China,
help people who are trying to pay for gasoline be able to afford it again.
And your expertise again is?
Guess what? I made a lot of money.
Okay, that's your expertise.
Thanks, Dad.
Okay. Oh, boy. Just went.
Guess what?
Beautiful.
I inherited a lot of money.
Guess what? I made a lot of money.
Did you see, John, that he does have diversity in his friends? He knows people not only that own NASCAR teams, but also that own football teams.
NFL teams,
yeah. NFL football
really?
Teams. So it's not like he has no
He knows the
diversity.
Extremely wealthy and the disgustingly wealthy.
Yes.
He's so diverse he wants to defund Planned Parenthood after he donated to them.
Yes. Isn't that something? Yeah. And he said, when we took him out of context when he said, Planned Parenthood, we're going to get rid of that. See what I did there? See what I did? I quoted him exactly. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Okay, what kind of trouble could a young, drunk girl without a shirt get into it?
Trust me. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. This hour brought to you by Solar World. Solar World has been making solar panels right here in America since 1975. Go to SolarWorld.com to find out more about the leader in American solar. Fridays with John Fugelsang continues apace. New day. All right, look alive. Come on. Heads up, everybody.
I'm good.
Just because you procreated, there's no reason to doze during the show. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll.
That's
from
the
anywhere.
Audience's job.
That's Jim's job after he finishes doing internet research over there.
Yeah.
He just takes a little nap.
Oh, is that what they call it now?
After there's a happy ending to
internet-based
his research.
Internet-based research.
Uh-huh.
That's what someone referred to. That story was.
Yeah, Curran wants to keep the mics on at some points, John, during the commercial breaks. So I'm like, okay.
All right.
You mostly get me going, turn off the porn, Jim!
Don't watch porn at work.
I'm watching a puppy falling asleep right now.
Are you really?
It sounds like poor.
Oh, cat, stay away.
There's one video going around called Sad Kitty. It's just a kitty looking sad.
Oh no.
Kitty has a sad.
I has a sad. Michelle in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Mama. Hi, Moops.
Hello.
Hello.
I was in line yesterday to see the president's new documentary, and it was amazing. So many people lined up. It was around the block, and the documentary was just phenomenal.
Where was it playing?
Narrated by Tom Hanks.
They had a screening room. They had, like, two screening rooms in an office in West L.A. Near Palms and Overland. And, I'm just so hopeful that people are really psyched up, you know, if this is the indication that people are, I think he's going to do really well.
Yep, absolutely. All right, honey, thanks. Yeah, I wanted to see the film. By the way, Robert Gibbs said, what you're seeing from all three of these candidates is they're not electrifying anybody.
You think?
Thank you, Captain Understatement. He said they're not getting anybody excited because many of the topics they're talking about is just not what voters are interested in. True.
I want to see the Mitt Romney film of him rolling around in his money.
talking about how rich he is. The economic policies that they're espousing, huge tax cuts, trillions of dollars in tax cuts for the wealthy. We've tried that formula. I think people understand we don't want to go back to that, to the mess and the problems that got us into. We're always geared up we've always geared ourselves for a re-election, for a close election, he said. I think that's what we're going to see. I think the president is quite comfortable being the underdog. Lowering expectations game.
Yeah.
Because they're so scared, because the Republican field is so strong,
yes.
John.
Yes, of course.
Terrified.
Torm has God on his side.
It's so strong, Huntsman might get back in.
Did you see Frothy went to Puerto Rico and told them to speak English?
Can you believe
if they want to be,
is
not against the Constitution.
Right. Here's the thing. Here's why Barack Obama can just crack open the champagne now. You cannot win the White House without 40% of the Latino vote.
Mm-hmm.
And they have completely chased it away. Between the women's vote, the Latino vote, the homophobe vote, they're going to carry. I give them props for that.
Yes. Well, yeah.
But, my God, it's incredible to actually go there to a place where they pay taxes to us, right?
Yes.
And to say, speak English.
Yeah.
And I believe in liberty and freedom.
If Puerto Rico's going to be forced to speak English, then Alta California and Arizona and Nevada and Nuevo Mexico should be speaking Spanish.
Colorado.
Very good.
Exactly.
Yeah, very good. Jim could get a job on Telemundo.
Santorum, which is a Latin
lunes. San lunes. Es fantástico.
Frothy said, I didn't really say that.
I think English and Spanish. Obviously, Spanish is going to be spoken here in the island. But this needs to be a bilingual country, not just a Spanish-speaking country.
And the Hawaiians got to stop speaking Hawaiian.
Yeah. Quit it. There's too many A's in your language.
Too many vowels.
Pretty much everybody in Puerto Rico can speak English.
Yeah.
So
they're required
really,
to speak English. And they learn English in school.
Yeah, he really has nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
God, moron. See, in educated countries, people speak more than one language.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unlike
By
you, Crappy.
How would Santorum last in L.A.? I'm going to take Pico over to La Cienega and then down to Wilshire.
Oy vey.
Cienega.
La
Cienega.
That is kind of a fun sport in L.A., listening to people pronounce names.
Yeah, well,
on the streets.
But then you have places like Los Feliz and San Pedro, which are
Los Felices, really.
Right, which cool. are...
No, that's the mandatory gringo mispronouncement.
And the La Brea Tar Pits is redundant.
Yes.
Yeah, the Tartar Pits.
Well, let's go to La Brea.
La Brea.
You know, John, Chris and I got into a spat about whether Alexander Pelosi's... did you see it on Bill Maher? Was, you know, unnecessarily stereotyping the South, but she was saying she had 20 more people that were all on the cutting room floor that looked and sounded exactly the same. But hello, in the proving my point, at a March Madness tournament, Southern Miss banned Chance, Where's Your Green Card? At a Hispanic Kansas State player.
There's
Who's
a bit of an up-
Puerto Rico.
There's a bit of an update to that story this morning.
Yes.
They issued an apology,
uh-huh.
but they spelled the player's name wrong.
Yes, Southern Mississippi University banned Chandon Where's Your Green Card at a Puerto Rican Kansas State player. Angel
people.
Rodriguez, who was born in Puerto Rico, played high school in Miami.
If you're born in Puerto Rico, you have an American passport.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Puerto Rico. Worth noting, Puerto Ricans are Americans.
Where's the birth certificate?
Yeah.
The only way to make that funnier is if you have an offensive American Indian mascot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the punchline, though. Rodriguez scored 13 points to lead his Wildcats to a 70-64 uh-huh. victory, making four crucial free throws late in the game. So. Los Niner. Okay. Amy in Missoula, Montana. Hey, Amy.
Hi, Steph. How are you going?
Good.
I just wanted to talk about the attack on mostly rural women who don't have access to, you know, the whole domestic violence thing is really a problem here in Montana, and it takes a long ways to go and get help for stuff like that. And also, birth control is a huge problem out here because you don't have just access like people think that you do.
Right.
And it's a problem. And, I mean, even like my sister who lives in rural Montana, she has also been in front of two congressional committees to testify for two different things. And if somebody went after her the way that Rush Limbaugh has gone after, you know, Sandra Fluke, it's
yes,
amazing.
Clearly only sluts testify about issues. That's
And I mean, my sister is also a business owner, and she doesn't have any kids, and she's one of these overly educated,
white women.
That these men seem to hate, and I don't think that the Republicans really realize that we outnumber them.
Well, that's what I think, Amy. I think that's
upset.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think that's what the reaction has been. Is you know, this whole Rush Limbaugh thing is bigger because you're right. You go, if it was my sister, it was my daughter, if it was my wife, if it was my you know, girlfriend. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. That's what's driving it.
And in rural states like Montana, where are women supposed to go if they can't get protection from the person that is stalking them? Or
exactly.
I mean, These are small towns, and not to mention the fact that they keep saying, oh, yeah, birth control is totally accessible. I lived in a small town with 500 people with one pharmacy. And
right.
If that pharmacy had decided that he had the moral authority to not give out a morning after pill, or, you know, he had something against birth control
right.
pills, where are women in that town supposed to go? It's 60 miles to the nearest pharmacy.
Yeah, he has the moral authority to get another friggin' job is what.
Exactly.
Exactly. If he doesn't,
and,
yeah.
You know, Congressman Reberg seems to think that he knows everything about women's reproductive health. Well, that's dandy, Denny, that you think that, but does he really know the women of the state? I mean, clearly Senator Tester and Senator Baucus do.
Mm-hmm. Right. It seems like one Republican legislator or state after another what state was it? Some guy compared women to horses and pigs and cows. Like, they don't get it.
Well, we had a legislator here in Montana that said that women were basically cattle. I mean, it's pretty documented that we've had one. And
no, he was telling a charming little, you know, farm story about.
Yeah. May he never be allowed to touch an udder.
Well, and there was a guy in Georgia that said that women after 20 weeks should have to carry even if the fetus died.
Wow.
That it would just naturally come out like a pig or a cow. I mean, how dangerous is that for women in that area? That's
awful. Is there something, Amy, that's happening that just men are being encouraged to come out of their caves after?
Call them men, Steph.
My dad was always one who felt that girls had just as much of a chance as boys did to do anything, and he encouraged his daughters to go and make themselves more than they could be. And I don't understand where all these so-called men are coming from, because it certainly isn't. I mean,
well, that's what I mean.
There's a lot of men like that.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Are the Rush Limbaughs of the world somehow empowering these Neanderthals to, like, I've been thinking that since 1953. I've been holding that in.
for people like my sister who live in, I mean, she lives in West Yellowstone, that's rural.
Yeah.
You know, and she has to deal with, you know, people because her and her business partner are both women. They're both married, they're both women. And people come down on them because, it's a women-owned business. And you guys just don't want. You just don't want snowmobiles in Yellowstone Park because it's just too much testosterone for you. And she's like, no, because it pollutes the environment. And I have friends that have kids, and I don't want them to be breathing in, you know, gas fumes every time one goes by.
Testosterone. It's too loud and smelly. That's why. All right, Amy. Thank you.
Ogg night loud and smelly. Ogg hit you with rock.
And let's not forget all the pharmacists who have declined to give Viagra to men who aren't married because that's never happened.
Here's the latest one. Sometimes you just can't believe you're reading this. Arizona, there you go. We were just in Phoenix.
Great.
How did you know? Arizona Senate committee endorses tell your boss why you're on the pill bill.
Wow.
Have I woken up in some sort of paternalistic society that I suddenly what?
Obama doesn't even need to go on the road to campaign this year.
Arizona has taken yet another draconian law for women's health, this time replicating but broadening the federal push to let employers deny women access to birth control. The bill stipulates unless a woman brings in a note, what are we, five?
From her husband?
Proving she's not using it to avoid getting pregnant.
Oh, my God.
An employer can deny birth control to any woman in the workplace. It would permit employers to ask their employees for proof of a medical prescription if they seek contraceptives for non-reproductive purposes,
proof
such
to
as
me you're not
hormone
a slut.
Control or acne treatment.
Yeah, it's the proof to me you're not a slut bill. Exactly.
Exactly. So when are we going to have the bill that declares unmarried men to declare their Viagra when they travel to the prostitution capital of the hemisphere?
Yeah.
I don't know who you could be.
That's a Limbaugh reference.
I wish I could tell you what I did on my weekend in the Dominican Republic of my friends, but I can't. As you know what I'm saying. Wink, wink.
Okay, 46.
You just sounded like Jabba the Hutt there.
I think that's why that golden EIB microphone always looks shiny new every day, because I think he eats it every day.
Yeah, at the end of the show, he eats it.
It's a snack every day.
Yummy microphone. Oh, this is great with gravy. Everything's great with gravy.
Yeah. I can't wait to see some Santorum on that microphone.
Ah, 46 minutes after the hour. Now he's sleep deprived.
He's going to be a guest on the show.
He might say anything today. He's had no sleep. He just procreated. Give John Fugelsang a break. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
9 months ago.
I'm kind of known for having a twisted sense of humor.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
And it feels like home when you call my name.
Stephanie Miller.
It's like a little prayer. I'm down on my knees. I want to take you there in the midnight hour.
This song makes me want Pepsi.
It doesn't make Pepsi want Madonna.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show, 51 minutes after. Yeah, bring me my personal comedy, Jesus.
Yes. Comedy.
Yes. Yes. Ecclesiastical MOOC.
Come unto me, my child. Come unto me.
All right. Did you hear? We played the Pat Robertson clip yesterday. He was discussing oral sex, making his co-host very uncomfortable. Paula writes, Steph, what the hell's wrong with a person who would write to Pat Robertson to get permission to have oral sex? There's that. Paula, thank you. There is that question. Charlie in St. Paul writes, Mama, thanks for paying that Pat Robertson clip. Since he absolved my wife and I of our sins, we broke out the holy ball gag of the Antioch last night. Here it is. Okay.
Jerry asks, I have to ask this question. Is oral sex between a husband and a wife in a marriage a sin? I don't want to. Don't look at me. I'm too young for that question.
You're too young.
I'm too young.
Do you have a baby? Did you get married?
Oh my Lord! Can we just switch the
intercourse?
Part about that?
Do you have any pictures?
The Bible doesn't make that sinful. It's a question of what's in your heart. You know, what's in your heart? Oh. If you it's sin, it's sin.
And the Bible says that, you know, something about a bed is undefiled between a husband and a wife. So whatever you guys decide on between
it
a husband
said,
and a wife,
let
God bless you, be undefiled.
It,
that's
it,
what I mean.
It didn't say it is the. It's
no,
let it
let,
be.
Yeah, yeah,
let
yeah, yeah.
It. That means don't bring somebody else in. There.
Exactly. I'm glad you cleared up that scripture
right,
for me.
But
I think I got flimped.
Any evidence of love and compassion and affection between two people who are married.
All right, let's switch to
but
the next
question. Of what is in your mind, if you feel it's sin, it's sin.
If you're thinking dirty thoughts.
Yeah, if you think it's dirty, John, then it's wrong. If
how
you
many
don't,
times
then
have
you're,
I used that
cool.
argument?
Uh-huh.
Well, it's hilarious. I'm glad that Pat, thy rod and thy staff comfort him. You know, this is very emotional to me because I my family is, I'm half Southern, and I used to spend all my summers down in Virginia where the 700 Club would always be on for some reason. And I learned at a very early age what a fake this guy was. And he married my cousin, actually. He performed my mother's cousin's wedding way back in the day. But there is nothing in the Bible about oral sex between men and women, married or unmarried, or men and men, or women and women. And I'll remind everyone
does he
that
say
Jesus...
Okay.
No, and Jesus said nothing about premarital sex. He really said nothing about premarital sex.
Did God say no three ways? Because that's what
thou shalt
Pat
have no
said.
Three ways, lest I am involved.
If God said no three ways, I'd be an atheist.
Yeah,
it's
don't
all about love. God, you know, Jesus said be nice to people, so don't lie to the people in your three ways. But my God, you only get to be alive for so long, and there's children. Life is miserable, so have all the fun
you can
have.
By the way, if it's not in your mind that it's dirty, then what's the point of even doing it, John?
Right.
That's
exactly.
The point.
You know,
you're
God,
not doing
what's
it right.
What's the fun in that?
If God hated sex, he wouldn't make us scream out his name when it's really filthy.
There you go.
Shafe in the chat room says, praise the Lord and pass the lube.
You heard him. It's time to get your freak on, everybody.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah, it's like, I don't think that kids need to have less sex. I think that grown-ups need to have more.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right, then. Hey, Newt Gingrich has taken your advice. All right, Nudie on the
camera. Obamacare is a nightmare. If you look at the most recent example of the cost of the program, I think it's already gone up by something like 70% in projected cost, and it hasn't even been implemented yet.
Did I say 70%?
Yeah,
700%.
Let's point out the fact that the Affordable Care Act does reduce the deficit by over $120 billion, and it would have been even more if they'd had a public option.
Yeah.
Like I said, it increases the deficit by 20 gazillion dollars.
And you know what? My wife works at one of New York's top tech firms. Well, she did until she left to have the incubus. And she tells me that everyone in HR is talking about the fact that now under the Affordable Care Act, young people are covered under their parents' insurance until age 26 is motivating so many companies to hire young people.
Mm-hmm.
It helps small business. It helps big business because they don't have to pay the health care costs of employees under 26. It's so brilliant and so great for business in so many ways. And this is what the White House has to get out in the messaging.
Yep. Nudie, one more time.
And I'm staying in the race because I want to see if I can't, in the second half of the race, Louisiana is sort of halftime. I want to see if we can't reset this whole race around the idea of really big ideas.
Big, awful ideas.
I'm divorcing Callista and sending her back to Mars, her home planet.
Big, awful, failed ideas.
By the way, John, don't you think exactly every really bad idea is a big one, don't you think?
Yeah.
Aren't the worst decisions you've ever made in your life a really big? How about I should move to New York.
You're asking me that today?
That is big. That was a bold idea.
I think I will start World War II to save European culture from the Mongol hordes. Oops, that didn't work out so well.
Why don't I do a late night talk show?
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Big idea.
I'm going to sell weapons to the same Iranians who helped to kill our Marines in Beirut.
Hey, I think they should televise the radio show.
Stephanie, I'm rethinking this whole television thing.
I'm expecting the call from Al Gore any day now. The soft launch just got a little softer. Okay. All right. Meghan McCain says she finds the GOP race so lame.
And what else did she
really say?
Oh, Jim, we'll get to that part.
Please, get to Meghan McCain's opinions on the issues, please.
She said she is underwhelmed by this Republican primary. She said the primaries have been lame, adding that Republicans may be able to salvage their general election prospects with a strong vice presidential pick.
Computer says no.
Don't tell her this, but they were lame in 2008, too.
Yeah, I know. They were lame in that landslide, too. Psst, FYI. She said it's been so many debates, so much blather, so much oversaturation. What the party needs, she said, is someone who will excite younger people, independents, Hispanic voters, and the disenfranchised. I know.
John McCain.
Obama.
Yeah.
We have something that will do that. Obama.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, Chris Christie, the Governor Soros, she says, is the one person who can do that. If he's
she's right. She's right.
He will shake up the race, for sure.
Well, no, the problem is that he will completely energize young people. He will completely alienate older conservatives because he believes in global warming science. He believes in medical cannabis. He's not a complete D-bag.
He'll shake things up. Am I the only one that had one of those games with the vibrating football players in the 70s? Yeah. All the little men on the field
would vibrate
that
vibrates?
And fall over? Yes. I'm just saying Chris Christie would shake things up. Yes. Someone knows what I mean. 58 minutes after the hour.
I know what you mean.
I didn't have one, but I know what you mean.
Back with more Fridays with People Saying on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Friday. Fridays with new daddy, John Fugelsang, in the New York Bureau.
Yes.
Aw, aren't those sweet comments? Pictures of John and his new son, Henry Jack, up on our Facebook page and all the very nice comments. Oh, somebody wrote another voice for Screaming Baby Airlines, which is great news for me. Another Screaming Baby on an airline. There we go. Mm-hmm. All right.
I'm used to the child being directly behind me or in front of me, not on my lap.
Exactly. Now you'll be the one getting all the death stares from other passengers.
Yeah. You know, I flew with my friend 2 years ago, and we took her two little infants on the road with us for a trip to see my folks, and I'd never traveled with a kid, and it was just appalling. And everyone thought it was my horrible child because I was holding it, so I've always had sympathy for those people ever since.
See, you're one of me. You're still calling it it, which is...
Yeah, it's an it.
See, you're only recently a parent.
A child is not a person until it screams, F you, Dad, and slams the door.
Yes, exactly. Until it sounds like one of our PSAs.
Yeah.
Until you've crushed his spirit.
He's going to blame me for everything anyway, so I'm going to screw him up in the most creative way possible.
Awesome. Good job. All right. StephanieMiller.com. Stephanie Miller Show on Facebook. You can see the pictures of the beauticianist John Fugelsang and his new sexy liberal. All right. SexyLiberal.com, SexyLiberal on Facebook. Billy writes, yesterday we got into a discussion. Oh, somebody said I was racist for calling it Crackerland. You know,
because you hate white people.
Clearly.
Yes, and there was somebody called and said it's as bad as the N-word. To which I
completely said yes. To which we all said no.
I'm guessing that was a cracker who thought that.
Yes, that's what somebody wrote me. They said, I noticed that the only people getting upset by this are, crackers.
Yep.
Hi, Steph. Official 20-something cubicle monkey from Florida here checking in. Just want to let you know, only us Floridians are real crackers. The name comes from whips that ranchers used on cattle, which were our main products before oranges, afterlife waiting rooms, and governors who looked like Skeletor. Anyways, keep up the great show. Please bring sexy liberal to Tampa. I've still got a 16-foot Johnson boat with a 15-horsepower Johnson motor and would love to take you, Hal.
16-foot Johnson?
What? 16-foot
Johnson.
Wow. You, Hal, John, and hopefully Aisha for a ride on my double Johnson. Best Bill. Oh, listen, everybody wants to give Aisha a ride on their double Johnson. Listen, get in line.
Mm-hmm. Including her cracker husband.
Yes.
Exactly.
He's at the head of the line.
You can only see Aisha in May in Minneapolis. It will be our... She will be filling in for Hal in May in Minneapolis, but go to sexyliberal.com. Tickets going fast for everywhere, including Albuquerque, the next one up March 31st.
Ready for that. I love Albuquerque so much. I've performed there so many times. Amazing audiences, and people who come to Albuquerque will get to grow up Steph, not just the first
And Santa Feans should come over because they didn't get to see Hal last time. He was in Scotland. So.
Did you say Santa Feians?
Santa Feians.
Santa Feians. We had two sold-out shows in Santa Fe because that was when we had our only matinee of the entire tour. It was the only matinee because only me and the audiences thought it was a good idea. So all y'all folks who came to Santa Fe and didn't get to see Mr. Sparks, get yourself down there, please.
Eat it. Dave writes, John, you should chime in on this because a lot of, obviously, the right wing almost in lockstep when the Rush thing happened went, Bill Maher!
I'd love to talk about
that. Okay, yes. So Dave writes, the fact that Bill Maher is a comic and doesn't have advertisers does not make him any less of a... By the way, I'm a liberal and Rush is a giant tub of pus, but Bill Maher is still a...
Yeah, kind of.
Okay, are you ready for this now?
Okay.
Okay, let's explain a few ways why Bill Maher should not be mentioned in the same sentence as Rush Limbaugh.
Well, can I throw out my two that I've done, and then you can jump
please.
In? As a radio person, first of all, cable, obviously, and first of all, the thing they're talking about, he said at a stage show, John, he said about Sarah Palin, when they talk about the C word, he said it at a stand-up comedy show. And as you and I know, and George Carlin, anyone that's ever tried this, that should be the one last bastion of free speech, a stage show. You're not, first of all, and even on cable, he's not governed by the FCC, as
true.
Rush is. And as he's pointed out, he doesn't have advertisers. So that's what I'm saying. It's just among other reasons why it's a bad analogy. But you go ahead.
Okay, yeah, let me get started, because there's so many reasons. First off, I'm not a fan of the C word, okay? Let me get that out of the way. I think that only men could create the most ugly word for the most beautiful thing. However, Bill Maher does not have a 20-year history of misogyny and anti-feminism. Bill Maher makes sexist jokes and has consistently throughout his career supported women's rights, women's equality, and women politicians. Bill Maher is not a sexist politically. He's a comic who tells jokes. Number two, Bill Maher does not control an entire political party. Bill Maher was not invited to sit in the president's box during the convention, as Rush was for George H.W. Bush.
Right.
When the Republicans took over the House in 94, they made Rush Limbaugh an honorary member of Congress and had a vote on it. Okay, this is the amount of influence this guy has over the party. And most of all, Bill Maher does not have a party terrified to criticize him. You can't compare these guys. Bill Maher is an entertainer, and Rush Limbaugh is
also
the de facto leader of the GOP.
Right, and John, as I always say, even the Sexy Liberal Show, it's the radio show without the FCC. That's, anyone that's ever been to a stand-up show, it's like you're going to hear some dirty words. That's
like FCC, for example, if you pronounce it the right way.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it's
sounds like one of the seven words.
And you know what? Bill said this about Sarah Palin, and I wouldn't have said it. I don't think it's the most clever thing in the world to say, but he's a comedian, and, you know, you can't compare Bill Maher's record to Rush Limbaugh's record. Rush Limbaugh has despised women, has disparaged women. When you come out and say feminazi for 20 years, you're insulting every woman and every Holocaust survivor and every Jew on the planet.
And by the way, I've been the first to go on record many times, John, and say Rush Limbaugh is a fabulous broadcaster. I hate everything he says, but he's, you know.
So is Goebbels.
Okay.
Yes,
but my point is, right, but when they say he's an entertainer, honestly, even people that are fans are listening now, was that funny? Was that meant to be funny, that 3-day tirade? Because I missed it, if that was because they can go, oh, well, Rush is a comedian too.
No.
Exactly. You know,
and I'm
Bill
like,
Maher,
what? I don't think, was that meant to be funny? It was meant to be provocative.
No, and let's throw in the biggest factor of all that I haven't even gotten to yet, besides the fact that Bill Maher was never invited to speak at CPAC. Rush Limbaugh lied, okay? And in the context of this insult to this woman, he lied about contraceptive care. He lied when he said it was forcing taxpayers to pay for this woman's contraception. That was a lie. And when he gave his fake apology, he repeated the lie. And that's the real story liberals have to stick to.
I said that from day one, John. Exactly it. It is based
on...
He knows that she was not talking about her personal sex life. She was testifying about, you know, birth control coverage, actually specifically for a friend of hers who needed it for an ovarian cyst. You know, but it just, yeah, so that you're right. The whole premise was so awful got to the words.
Yeah,
you know?
Don't let your conservative friends be, Bill Maher. Bill Maher's not a Democrat. He's never been, he did one White House correspondence dinner during Clinton's first term. That's as close as he comes to being a Democrat. The story is about the lie Rush told, because that's worse than the sexism.
Yep.
Yep. Todd in Minneapolis. Hey, Todd, welcome.
And Bill has better taste than drugs, too.
Yeah. Excuse me. Hello, Todd.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Regarding the fear-mongering of the Affordable Care Act, I have a real good example of what it really means. My wife has worked for the same small business here in the Minneapolis area for the last 23 years, and one of her responsibilities there is to pay their health care costs on an annual basis. And as soon as the Affordable Health Care Act was enacted in 2010, immediately their costs began to go down. And just last week, when she paid the 2012 annual premium for the 15 employees of their small business, with no change in benefits whatsoever, there was a 26% decrease in the cost of their annual premium for their health care expenses. 26% decrease. It's just fantastic.
Yep.
And there's been no change in the policy whatsoever. My guess it simply is that insurance company positioning itself to have something competitive when the exchange comes out.
Yes, thank you. There you go.
Obama's a commie socialist.
Exactly.
Who saved the auto industry.
An unsolicited testimonial for the Affordable Care Act, and now for ProFlowers. Hello, James.
Morning, Stephanie. My wife called me yesterday afternoon, and all she could say was, wow. Being liberals, we have no family values, but somehow yesterday was our 43rd wedding anniversary.
Aww. Congratulations. Wow.
I knew I was going to be on the road this week because, as you remember, I'm the official truck-driving minister of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Indeed, I do.
So I was driving down the road, so I knew I was going to be on the road, so I went to the website last weekend. Mainly because ProFlowers dropped Rush, I decided to give them some business. So
thank
I
you.
Went to the website last weekend, typed... What was I supposed to type in the
Stephanie
box?
In the box.
Oh, Stephanie in the box. Mm-hmm. And the flowers arrived on time yesterday, and she called, and all she could say was, wow.
You're going to get some this weekend because of mama.
We got the free vase because we typed Stephanie in the box.
You're going to get some of the stuff Pat Robertson talked about the other day. Yeah.
Well, after 43, well, never mind.
Yeah. Are you in your truck now?
I am.
Yeah, give Mama that horn. Give it to me. Oh, yeah. All right. Good luck this weekend.
Are you okay now?
Good luck. Yeah. Pat Robertson says...
At my age, it's not a promise, it's a threat.
All right. Thank you, James. All right. Oh, this is the Meghan McCain interview that Jim wanted to talk about, the one in Playboys. Oh,
yeah.
All right. Now,
all right.
She said, I love sex and I love men.
Arr.
Okay.
Give me a lusty wench. Arr.
She's very attractive in person. I see her at MSNBC all the time.
See, the better analogy to Rush Limbaugh would be Jim Ward. What about Jim Ward? He's a pig. But he's our pig. After mentioning an all-girls vacation she took in 2008, McCain was proud to say a little more about the hanging out in the bed with girlfriends part. She said, "I'm not a lesbian, if that's what you're asking. I'd be the first person to tell the world I was gay. If you see me at a gay bar, it's only because they play the best music and my gay friends like to dance." Did she literally say, "I'm strictly really"? Really? Yep. That's not a word. Really?
It's a saying, though. You've never heard that?
No.
Well, you don't.
Well, I wouldn't, would I?
Yeah, no. You wouldn't.
What, you can't say Dick Sargent on the radio?
Oh, Jim
or Dick York?
Ward.
No, or Dick Cheney?
You can say Dick Cheney is evil. You can't say Cheney is an evil.
That's the difference.
I understand.
Thank you, FCC logic.
John, have you heard? Would you like some Sarah Palin word salad?
I would love some.
Yeah, it's Jim read this verbatim yesterday.
What kind of dressing?
Did you want to do this after the break?
After the break.
I know what you're talking about.
That's that wince.
It's fantastic.
Oh, it's fantastic about how Obama wants to enslave people.
Yeah, you know, not only was Julianne Moore great as Sarah Palin, but she didn't quit playing her halfway through production.
Yeah,
well, there is that.
John Fiedelson. May I just say, you are on your game. I order you to get no sleep every night.
I will never sleep again.
All right. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, I don't believe it. This is too good to be real. Of course this is real.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Steffi.
That's why
check it out.
London Bridge keeps going down.
Yeah,
yes,
right.
Because she's fergalicious.
The one in Lake Havasu?
Near Dupond.
Yeah.
23 minutes after the hour. 1-800.
John Stewart talked about Dupond last night.
Yeah.
And the title card said, "On Goyim Pond." Yeah.
All right. Maria in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Maria.
Hi, Steph. Hi, Mooks. Hi, John.
Hi.
Good morning.
Morning. I just wanted to say that the comparison between Rush Limbaugh and Bill Maher is driving me nuts, because I think the proper comparison should be Don Imus and what happened with him. He said ugly, offensive things about private citizens, his poor young girls, and he had a right to say what he wants, but it was ugly, and he paid the price, and he lost everything.
Well, you know, and Maria, this is the other thing. I was on CNN with Michael Medved, and the talking point has become, oh, she's an activist that put herself in the public eye. It's like, because you agreed to testify, because you were invited by a congressional committee, that makes
right.
That makes you fair game to be called a slut and a prostitute for 3 days?
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Right.
And to be lied about. And again, the thing with Imus, I think, that everyone also got wrong was that he was called racist, and it wasn't really the racism. He said nappy-headed. White people are allowed to say that. But he called college athletes hoes. It was the sexism that was Don Imus's undoing.
Yeah, but that's also racist. It was a combination
but
of racism and sexism.
But Imus has bent over backwards for years to try to make amends to women and the black community. I genuinely believed he felt terrible about it.
I think he did too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Whereas, like you say, that, and I think they just did some polling on it, John, that the vast majority of the American people agree that this apology was not sincere. There's no person that could have listened to that and thought that sounded sincere.
It's disgusting. I posted about 30 different offensive Rush Limbaugh quotes over the past 20 years on my Facebook page and on my Twitter feed when this happened last week, because, you know, people just want to forget that he has a long, long history of hating women. And right now, whenever he gets lowered onto his wife, I hope she remembers what he said about contraception.
Dude, oh my God.
When the pulley gets stuck.
Listen, John, the Stephanie Miller Show cannot be held responsible for anything new Father John Dougal saying. Says he's
exactly.
Had no sleep. He is just, he's delirious.
Exactly.
Which is why it's
going to
be,
talking.
You don't miss a minute of the show today.
Yeah.
Tim in Chicago.
That'll be the promo for tomorrow.
Tim in Chicago.
Good morning. One thing that I really haven't heard a lot of talk about is the hypocrisy when it comes to this Bill Maher issue. A few years ago, a right-wing Ted Nugent up on stage said something to the effect that Hillary should be sucking on his big gun.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Said something really disparaging about Barack Obama. And yet, after the fact, Sean Hannity and Mike Huckabee both invite him on his show and then say, "This is my good friend."
Yeah.
What was the outcry from that?
Yeah. No, exactly. And as I mentioned, he has given me the finger on politically incorrect. Ted Nugent. Yes. And they pixelated it on TV, but it wasn't pixelated to me. But, it was right in my face.
Sure.
But that
it was
is...
it was almost Jan Brewer in my face.
You just flipped off the Ustream.
I did. Pardon me. I was by way of explanation. I apologize, Ustream. I was not reenacting a moment in my
life.
You're
going to have to watch that when we go on current TV.
I certainly was not saying you're number one. What I was saying...
No, but talking about his gun is a great deal worse than calling someone
a slut.
Well,
what he said about Obama was Secret Service worthy, frankly. Yeah,
exactly.
And considering a history of murdering presidents and senators, people really should be...
Should watch what they say.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what Ari Fleischer.
To paraphrase Ari Fleischer, John in Illinois. Indiana. Hey, John.
I absolutely disagree with this whole Bill Maher business. You claim he's not a Democrat yet.
Well, he's
you
not.
Turn on his show.
He's a libertarian.
Then he's a libertarian who has like-minded liberal Democrat politicians on his TV show.
And Republicans.
Constantly.
They have hang on now. They try to book Republicans, but Bill and Scott Carter, his producer, have always had a very tough time getting Republican guests to come on and getting Republicans in the audience. They once tried bussing people in from the Reagan library.
Well, and John, he makes jokes about Democrats, too.
Yep.
I mean, he is not a Democrat.
He's
not a documentary
very
Democrat.
Hard on Obama. He's harder on Obama than Steph will let me be on this show.
Yeah, exactly.
The second he stroked a $1 million check to Obama's super PAC.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
he was making a point, John.
He has $1 million point.
Yes.
And
he's
called.
Sure is.
He was making a point in the same way Stephen Colbert is about super PACs.
He's writing checks and calling vice presidential candidates horrible names. And if it's the words that are offensive, who cares?
Okay, but John,
them?
If you believe in a First Amendment right, the name,
agree with
John,
you.
The name you're talking about, first of all, was it a stage show? It was it. A,
who
do
cares?
You not? Okay, so we need to watch our language in comedy clubs.
Are you really comparing? Are you comparing Rush Limbaugh's record of misogyny to Bill Maher, sir? Are you really saying they're on the same level? Does Bill Maher have the political influence, sir, that Rush Limbaugh has? Was Bill Maher invited to speak at CPAC or sit in the president's box at the convention? Did the Democrats make Bill Maher an honorary member of Congress, sir? Are Democrats so terrified of this man they won't ever criticize him? No. There is no comparison, and you know it. It's a false equivalency. And do you admit that Rush Limbaugh lied about contraception? Do you admit that Rush Limbaugh lied about contraceptive care, since that is the real story here?
I don't know what he's... What
he said that
this
woman was asking taxpayers to pay for her contraception, and that is not the law under
the
Affordable Care Act. It's not about disagreeing. It's a lie, man.
Right, he told a lie.
No, I disagree that he should not be making up things. What I have a problem with is Ms. Fluke, and whether it's this situation...
What?
Let's use the voter ID.
Huh?
What are you talking about?
All right, hang on. You need to hang on. We need to continue that after the break on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
In Cleveland, I'm a model. Yeah, we're all models west of the Allegheny.
Oh boy, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm becoming forgetful, aren't I? We will play the Sarah Palin word salad. I forgot. I tease things that then I don't actually do.
I need
to go back to tease school.
Yeah, you've been doing that to me for years.
Seriously. She teases a lot of things she won't actually do.
You keep showing up.
Let
John
you know.
John in Indiana.
Let me close in the loop.
Wait, hang
here.
On a second. Jim's like one of those voters. It's never worked out for you before, but it might.
Yeah.
Voting Republican, it might. She might actually do it. John, go ahead.
Okay, let me close the loop.
Okay.
You've got Ms. Fluke, who was the past president of the Georgetown Reproductive Justice Club, or whatever you want to call it.
Yes, and therefore deserved to be called a slut and a prostitute for 3 days.
No, she doesn't. Not at all. I'm not saying that
okay.
at all. She sits down.
Yeah, so why do you think she was asked to testify? That's why. She was asked to testify.
I know. But she and Nancy Pelosi and Democrats, or no, liberals in general, come out and try and get everyone to believe that there is this huge class of people who have ovarian cysts that need this drug.
It doesn't matter how many people need it.
Class. What if it's only two?
No, I absolutely disagree with if a drug has a medical use.
Are the Koch brothers paying you to make this argument you don't believe in?
No.
No, I didn't.
By the way,
it
is a medical use to prevent pregnancy as well. You shouldn't have to,
No, it is not. That's a choice. And you're all about choice. Right?
No, sir. If you don't think contraception is a woman's health issue and the future of our nation as well, if you don't like crime and poverty and people who can't afford to have children having them anyway, it is a public health issue.
Yes, and there's a host of things, including endometriosis, and oops, we're out of time for you. Oh, well.
Plus, it's legal.
My point is, she's
a slut. It's a legal medication.
Clearly, she's a slut. I want to say, John seems like a nice enough guy. He really does, but it just seems like he's dogmatically hanging on to trying to defend Limbaugh when he knows he can't.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Representative Adam Schiff of the great state of California, right here in Burbank.
Yeah. We're sitting in Burbank right now.
This is our congressman. Good morning, Representative.
You're soaking in it.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I'm in Schiffville.
Beautiful downtown Burbank.
There you go. As Johnny Carson would say. So let's talk about, first of all, the 2012 field, because it's for us, it's the best for comedy. politically, I don't know what to say anymore. Do you?
It is the best for comedy. I have to say, when you think about the cast of characters that have come in and out of this field in the last several months, my personal favorite is Herman Cain. I think we need to bring him back.
We're doing the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour. That's what we're thinking now. We're almost out of liberal causes to give to. We're thinking of trying to resurrect some of the best campaigns
that
for
can
comedy.
Be impossible.
I think he's still only suspended his campaign. He could come back at any moment.
I think you're
Amen.
Right.
Amen. With Bachman as a running mate, I will campaign door to door.
What do you think is going to happen? I mean, people keep saying no, but today another headline about possibly a brokered convention if Santorum keeps up at this pace, right?
Well, it certainly is possible. I think it's going to be Romney, but if they go to convention and they try to pick someone else, starting a presidential campaign that late in the season without the organization, I think that's going to be fatal. But I think it's going to be Romney.
Well, and Newt Gingrich, as you know, may well be president of Mars, but but you actually have a specific program, though, that is in regards to NASA that is not what Newt Gingrich is talking about. Tell us about the cuts to the Mars program.
Well, Newt wants to be king of Mars, but Mitt Romney wants to strap his dog to a rocket and send it there.
Yes,
right.
Yes, yes.
Well, we are the leader in planetary science the world over, and we're able to do things that no other country can, and we've been the beneficiary of amazing technologies that have come out of our space program. But one of the jewels is at risk right now, and that is the Mars program, which has landed those incredible rovers that have sent back these amazing images of the Martian surface and brought us tantalizingly close to discovering the building blocks of life on another planet. But unfortunately, that is being cut severely, and we're trying to restore that program and repair our relationship with the European Space Agency that we were going to be working with on two important projects to go into Mars in 2016 and 2018.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I must say as a whole, that's the other thing about this field is they are really literally an anti-science to a person, right? They're just, I've seen these clips of Newt Gingrich talking about climate change. I mean, and they literally, you have to be completely anti-science to run as a Republican these days, right?
Well, it is tragic. And this goes back some time when they had people working at NASA during the Bush administration who had to take out every reference to climate change and put in alleged climate change or even change the vocabulary. You had journalism majors editing scientific papers to put in really anti-science kind of terminology. It's appalling to watch the GOP candidates compete with each other who can be the most anti-science in a way.
Yeah, I think it was the president got off a good one the other day, didn't he, when he was talking about, he said if some of these folks were around when Columbus set sail, they must have been founding members of the Flat Earth Society. They wouldn't have believed the world was round. In relation to the whole energy debate, correct?
Exactly. They would have been talking about the alleged round Earth theory.
Yeah.
I think they should test the alleged laws of gravity by jumping out of a plane without a parachute.
Oh, no. Jim Louise. So, Representative, and obviously Joe Biden out there yesterday speaking very strongly on behalf of the president.
Yes. Well, he has done a great job traveling around the country and being a very strong promoter of the administration and really takes the kind of 30,000-foot level arguments made by the president brings them down to the ground, and nobody presses the flesh better than Joe.
Yeah, there was a real difference watching him speak and watching Mitt Romney speak, right, and trying to connect with as we call them, real people. Joe Biden yesterday.
If you give any one of these guys the keys to the White House, they will bankrupt the middle class again.
Yep. And isn't that the operative thing, is that it doesn't matter which one of them it is. They all have the same policies, right?
Well, they all seem to. They're all competing with each other who can, at least at the moment, cater most to the hard right. And I think the American people are having a very hard time, increasingly hard time, relating to any of them for a variety of reasons, either because their views are increasingly out of step with the country, or they don't seem to appreciate, in the case of Mitt Romney, you know, what it's like to be in a family that's struggling financially or just trying to get by or pay the bills or make ends meet. Certainly, as you've been pointing out this morning, there's a growing gender gap in terms of any kind of support for GOP candidates, and that makes a lot of sense as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And obviously now they're trying to, cling on to gas prices, and it really is incredible. The president yesterday on
this. So do not tell me that we're not drilling. We're drilling all over this country.
Well, I mean, and that's just a basic fact. The drilling is up, and here you have one candidate after another saying gas will be $2 when I'm president. I mean, it's insulting to the American people's intelligence, don't you?
And the big lie about Keystone.
Well, the fundamental flaw is no matter how much we drill, and the president is absolutely right, we're drilling more than ever, we are never going to be able to produce more than a small fraction of what we use. We use 25% of the world's oil. We produce 2, 3, 4%. And those numbers are never going to add up. We can't drill our way out of this problem, no matter how we try. And the only way to sustainably bring down prices in the mid and long term is something that's anathema to Republicans, and that's develop renewable sources of energy that can compete with oil.
Yep.
And that can force that price down and keep it down.
Yep, absolutely. It's I think one of them said yesterday about, we're for all of the above strategy. Well, so is the president. That's exactly what he's talking about. I mean, it's just so disingenuous, I think, to as the president said yesterday, to imply that the president in the short term can affect gas prices, as if with a magic wand, I think he said.
Well, and I think what the GOP really means when they say all the above is they want to drill in all the above places,
right.
In the Arctic, off the coast, here and there. It's a drill in all of the above locations, not really invest in all the above different forms of energy, particularly in the renewable area.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, that's all we can do is keep, discussing the issues. And I think the president is being very clear on that. We continue to check in with you as the primary goes along. Thanks so much for your time, as always.
You bet, and good luck with your show in Albuquerque.
Oh, thank you very much. All right, thank you, Representative. There he goes. He listens.
That's right.
He follows
the
liberal.
What a guy. Where do you get these guests?
And
Capitol Hill.
There you go.
Yeah. Hardly anyone's talking about the fact of Wall Street manipulation of prices. It's a completely divorced from supply and demand now.
Yeah. I heard by accident, Chris, I sometimes by accident listen to Sean Hannity, which is really...
Yeah. Yeah, don't do that.
Well, because when Randy Rhodes goes off, I lose the will to live. And so he had Trump on, Donald Trump. He is just really... obnoxiously, aggressively
huge,
dumb.
Hugely
wow.
dumb. What a summit that must have been.
My dump is huge.
He just, I mean...
Were they talking about family values?
No, but they got him to go... Oh, because he said that the president said no president can affect gas prices in the short term. He's like, if he said that, he's lost. He's already lost the election if he said that. And we can do it, and we can do it in a very short period of time. We could do...
Wow.
We could... Gas can be $2, and it can happen very quickly. It's like, you are just a moron.
Yeah, the party of memory loss.
Yeah. For a businessman, he sure doesn't know a whole lot about economics.
I lost lots of money on a casino.
Folks, if you're upset about high gas prices, be sure to thank one of these a-holes who keeps talking about why we should bomb Iran, because that's why your gas prices are so
high.
Yes!
Yes. All right. The
instability in the region.
Wars and rumors of wars.
Yep.
We are drilling, but it's not going to solve our problem. We can't allow ourselves to be held hostage to events on the other side of the globe. That's not who we are. America controls its own destiny. We're not dependent on somebody else.
Yeah.
Why does he hate America?
Mm. He said, lately we've heard a lot of professional politicians, a lot of folks are, you know, running for a certain office who shall go unnamed. They've been talking down new sources of energy. They dismiss wind power. They dismiss solar power. They make jokes about biofuels. They were against raising fuel standards because apparently they like gas-guzzling cars better. We're trying to move towards the future. They want to be stuck in the past. So, yeah, you know, and then we talked about he made the flat earth thing, but it really is true. He said, we've seen this movie before. They head down to the gas station. They make sure a few cameras are following them. And then they start acting like they've got a magic wand and we can give you cheap gas forever if you just elect us every time. Been the same script for 30 years. It's like a bad rerun. And then I thought he said some very inspirational things. He said, America has always succeeded because we refuse to stand still. He said to a roaring crowd, listen to that, Mittens. That's what it sounds like. We put faith in the future. We are inventors. We are builders. We are makers of things. We are Thomas Edison. We are the Wright brothers. We are Bill Gates. We are Steve Jobs. That's who we are. That's who we need to be right now. Thank you, Mr. President.
Nice.
It's not often you get a President Rutherford B. Hayes reference in. He said they might even have sided with one of my predecessors, President Rutherford B. Hayes, who reportedly said this about the telephone. It's a great invention, but who would ever want to use one? He said that's why he's not on Mount Rushmore. He was looking back, well, also because he's too large. But
yeah. He had a big head.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wouldn't have.
He was another
that
one.
That was a lot of rock.
I think you're thinking of Taft.
Oh, yes. I think you're right.
Yeah, Rutherford B. Hayes was another one-termer.
Well, now we know why.
Yes. He came in after Grant.
Exactly. All right, 47 minutes after the hour. I promise Sarah Palin word salad.
Yeah,
next.
You've been promising this for almost an hour, Steph.
Bye. You've been promising me something for 6 years.
You know,
I just
said to Lisa yesterday, I think I might be getting early onset, you know,
diabetes.
Alzheimer's.
Oh.
Yeah. You know what else I said, Jim? I said I think I might be getting early onset Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Steph.
You know what I was saying? Seriously, I'm getting really forgetful, aren't I?
Who's Lisa?
I don't remember. 47 minutes
My
after the hour.
Lisa.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
They degrade women and beavers.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Shake it up. Shake it up. Shake it up.
Thank you. Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie.
That's a catchy song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Speaking of HD video quality.
What?
Let's see, Ray from Waukegan. Mama, I want to start by saying what a great time my husband and I had at Sexy Liberal in Chicago. Even though we were in the oxygen mask seats in the balcony, we enjoyed ourselves immensely. I think there's something highly desirable in the tight pants of attractive men being made 10 feet tall on a projection screen.
That's why we have to add lots more shows.
Mm.
lots more. It makes people happy.
Cats in the cradle and a silver spoon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know. I'm trying to save you from bad fatherhood. I'm trying to, you know.
I'm trying to help your branding.
Mm-hmm. When you're coming home, Dad, I just arrived just the other day.
Oh, my God.
He came to the world.
Just don't park on train tracks.
Henry Jack.
Harry Chapin's from Long Island, too.
Henry Jack, I forced your father to conceive you in the green room of the Chicago Theater, and then I forced him to be a good father.
We're going to keep this going, this Buster Keaton mythology that he was born in a trunk at the Chicago Theater when in our vaudeville tour.
Little boy doing the man in the moon. When you're coming home, Daddy, don't know.
Daddy Madison again? Daddy, no. You're missing my whole childhood.
Oh, that's okay.
Daddy! Daddy!
I'll have more time with the kid because there's no matinee.
All right.
Mm-hmm. All right.
wow.
This is an off the hook radio show.
Jim in Vegas, baby, Vegas. Hey, Jim.
Yeah, Mama. One huge difference between Bill Maher and Rush is that Rush is on the public airways.
Thank you.
100 channels.
That's true.
Yep.
HBO. I gotta pay to get on. I have to find it. It's on once a week. One channel.
Right, exactly, Jim. I made this point yesterday that you know, the airwaves don't belong to me or to Rush Limbaugh. They belong to you. I understand people that are making the argument about programming in the public interest, and that's for program directors to decide. I mean, it's But that's absolutely right. He doesn't, you know, Bill Maher doesn't have an FCC license. And as you say, you don't have to just not watch. You have to pay if you want to watch him. I mean, and that's the other thing. To criticize something he said in the stand-up club, well, don't buy a ticket to go see him. I mean, you know what Bill Maher is like. Yeah, anyway.
A man with no influence over the Democratic Party whatsoever.
Right.
He can't even get Bill Clinton to come on his show.
Yeah, he can't even get that. Well, David Axelrod pulled out of being on his show.
Yes.
Yeah.
He can't get anyone from the Obama.
If Rush Limbaugh wanted John Boehner to wear lipstick and a skirt, he would.
Right. And you could cancel HBO, but no one was going to do that before Game Change, because that was awesome. Uh-huh. Awesome. Game
Great
Change
movie.
Was awesome.
Great movie.
And Sarah Palin is obviously hysterical about it and trying to distract attention.
I think she should watch it, and she'll think
she
that it's
like
not
it.
That bad.
You know, Game Change, it's like a remake of the Zapruder film where the entire world dodges the bullet.
I order you to never get sleep again. All right.
That's some serious comedy there, John Fugelsang.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it is.
Just
I mean, it's also the biggest
bringing it.
I know.
It's also the biggest movie ever made about a person who votes for Newt Gingrich in the Alaska primary.
Yeah. So Sarah Palin went on Hannity. It's about how Obama wants to go back to the pre-Civil War days, John.
Yeah.
When presumably. He would still be a slave and not president, but that's not important now. Take a listen.
Well, what we can glean from this is an understanding of why we are on the road that we are on. Again, it's based on what went into his thinking, being surrounded by radicals. He is bringing us back, Sean, to days that you can harken back to days before the Civil War, when unfortunately too many Americans mistakenly believed that not all men were created equal.
Right-wingers.
And it was the Civil War that began the codification of the truth that here in America, yes, we are equal and we all have equal opportunity. It's not based on the color of your skin. You have equal opportunity to work hard and to succeed and to embrace the opportunities, God-given opportunities, to develop resources and work extremely hard and, as I say, to succeed. Now, it has taken all these years for many Americans to understand that gravity, that mistake that took place before the Civil War, and why the Civil War had to really start changing America. What Barack Obama seems to want to do is go back to before those days when we were in different classes based on income, based on color of skin.
Why are we
allowing our country to move backwards instead of moving forward with that understanding that as our charters of liberty spell out for us, we are all created equally.
Here's the translation.
God.
Affirmative action is racism. It's a dog whistle.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Yeah. Exactly right. Exactly.
Beyond
white
that,
people,
wow.
White people
without
are an oppressed majority.
Without a breath.
Yeah.
Minute 22.
I think she's pregnant again, because in that one paragraph, she skipped five periods.
John
Fugelsang with the pregnancy humor.
Woo.
Can I tell you something else about this? Now, this is the big meme we're hearing a lot from our friends on the right, is this whole thing about how the Republican Party freed the slaves and the Democrats were the racists for so long. No, you hear this all the time. It was the Democrats who blocked civil rights, and the Democrats, it was the Republican who freed the slaves. Yeah, you know why? Because the Republican Party used to be liberal,
and
the Democratic Party used to be conservative, and then they flip-flopped, and all the racists, the Dixiecrats, left the Democratic Party. Guess where they went?
By the way, I would have given anything to see what was in Sean Hannity's thought bubble, because even Sean Hannity
nodding off, seriously.
He just had to be like,
Sean's too busy lubing his nose.
Dumber than I am. This is unbelievable. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome to Old Cracker Talk.
Yeah.
Jim and I are discussing whether it's sleep deprivation or old age that we're getting so forgetful. Is that what we talked about?
I don't know.
All right, 6 minutes.
And then I suggested something that might help your memory.
Thank you. somebody suggested you might need
yeah.
this week. It might be helpful to you in some way.
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh.
Nothing no. we can talk about on the air.
Oh, I got called the racist C word for calling the South Crackerland.
Yeah.
The other C word. So there. It was just a week of complimentary emails and please and thank you.
Yes.
We appreciate. Okay.
Please and bleep you.
Yeah, well, that's what it was more like.
I'm a racist C name caller.
Ah, sure.
Okay. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Stephanie Miller Show on Facebook. The beautiful John Fugelsang and his new son, Henry Jack, born on Monday, are pictured there. And lots of lovely comments.
My son was born on Mitt Romney's 65th birthday.
Oh.
Is that?
Yeah.
Today?
No, that was on Monday.
On Monday.
On the 12th. Yeah, my kid now shares a birthday with Mitt Romney, Daryl Strawberry, Edward Albee, Ron Jeremy, Liza Minnelli, and Jack Kerouac.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, well, Jack Kerouac.
That covers the entire spectrum of human worth.
Wow. My birthday is Ho Chi Minh, Pol Pot, and Pete Townsend.
Wow.
Huh. Wow.
Mine's just Charlie Sheen.
And Joey Ramone.
Wow.
Mine's Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Nice.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. StephanieMiller.com. You can email us, as many people do, because it is hard.
It must be nice to always believe you know better, to always think you're the smartest person in the room.
Yes.
No, it's awful.
And as I age, my listeners always fill in the missing blanks in my memory that because I say something and I know it's someone knows what I mean, and Linda knows what I mean. About what? I said, if Chris Christie got in the race, that would shake things up. I said, like that old electric football game you used to have in
right.
the 70s where you'd turn it on and all the players would go, I don't know what the point of it
was. Yeah, there
was
no point at all.
They just shook around and fell down. I don't
yeah.
know. Well, Linda
that's pretty
writes
much football, I think. Right?
Yeah, Linda writes electric football. Well, that's a blast from the past. We had one too. It didn't make any sense, of course, because when you flip the switch, all the figures did was dance around. Yes, yeah, ball, much like the Republican primary.
They danced this mess around.
What was the? I mean, seriously, was there a point?
I get there was supposedly you would set your men up and then you would turn and then it they right. We're supposed to do play.
No, that's what air hockey was for, Jim.
All those little football dudes who like dancing around and like falling. That's great.
All right.
oh boy.
So we believe we're starting to be televised on Current TV at some point. It could be March 26th, unless we get the phone call that I'm expecting from Al Gore. Which
you know,
I don't
Stephanie. You know, I've been rethinking this whole TV thing. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it's going to work out.
Okay.
The sweat stains, the.
I might actually get pre-fired from TV for the first time ever.
Yes.
You never know.
I can't wait to get out to L.A. and be in studio with you so we can have a Gore-Off on the air.
And then
we can take a DVD of our Gore-Off and bury it in a lockbox for future generations to enjoy the impersonation.
And then Danny Bonaducci will take over.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what our hope is, that Al Gore will call in at some point and Jim Ward can interview him as Al Gore.
Yeah, yeah. That'll go over well.
Yeah. I think he has a delightful sense of humor. All right, so, but lots of people wanted us to clear up stuff about the breaking news about current TV. So we think, we'll let you know for sure. We think it's March 26th.
Probably
we're getting
26th.
All the technical stuff.
Right.
But we are not, they're just televising the radio show. So people are freaking out. And no, we're not going off the radio.
Right.
We're not going off XM, Sirius. We're on all the same, blah, 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 all the same.
The only thing that's going away is the video on Ustream.
Right.
The audio.
You can still audio stream.
Right. The audio on Ustream will still be there. It's just the video is going away.
Will only be available on Current
and now
TV.
The bags under our eyes will be in high def.
Exactly.
Please let me know when that's going to be because I will be in L.A. for the first week of that.
Who's the pretty boy in the window? There.
Yeah. Wait, I can't Skype into Current TV, really?
So, we're still working on those kinds of issues.
We're not supposed to make jokes about that Al Gore invented the internet, and we should have figured this out by now.
Well,
he never said.
Of course, he didn't.
You know how much I hate defending Democrats? Yeah. Damn these Republicans.
All right. It's the simulcast aspect that has the problems that we need to work out.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And Meredith in Greensboro, can't wait to see Jim Ward's face again doing bits. Yeah, that's the main thing. That's the main thing we're looking forward to. Mama, I got a close-up of you more recently as you crawled over my lap, a sexy liberal. Well, that's not a very select group, Meredith, but okay. I will be giving Jim lap dances on camera, often do in the studio.
If you're in the front five rows of this show, you will be able to clone Steph from the DNA she leaves on you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. A lot of those transvaginal probe cell phone cameras people are bringing these days. I don't know. Okay, let's go
Can you hear me now?
Are you calling from the Jersey Tunnel?
Hello.
Hello.
Something like that.
Hey, Bill and Joycey.
Yeah, hi. May I throw out a Dorothy Parker line first?
Oh, yes.
Please. Yes.
Okay, if you want to know what God thinks of money, look at the people he gave it to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I resemble that remark. You bet.
Right. And regarding Rush Limbaugh, he did an interview, I forget how long ago, with Esquire, where he was asked what his priorities were. Was it faith? Was it politics? Was it America first? He said, no, I'm a businessman first. Well, he wasn't a very good businessman 2 weeks ago. And, you know, that's his whole shtick, is defying what's reality no matter what it is.
Yeah. All right. I got lost in there somewhere.
Kind of.
But I'm back.
No,
he made a good point, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Eric in Maine, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Eric.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello.
Can I be your official ex-Armed Forces radio and television broadcaster?
Good morning, Vietnam!
Very cool. No, actually, I was in the same unit as him.
Really?
Not at the same time. But
awesome.
Same,
yeah. Yeah, and he was just like Robin Williams, wasn't he?
not a bit. Anyway, he got thrown off a show for dropping an F-bomb on one of the TV show one time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, on the Rush Limbaugh thing, basically the situation is, I mean, I didn't get my ding-ding for being the official.
Yeah. Oh, I guess you did. Yeah. Yeah, you did. Okay. You're just deaf from too many years in headphones, like me.
Exactly. Same age as you, too, Steph. So,
oh, boy.
Anyway.
It's all down here.
Oh, well. Anyway.
Same age as my mother.
Uniquely American.
The situation with that is that Armed Forces Radio and Television has two missions. The first mission, well, the second mission, actually, what everybody thinks it is to entertain the troops and give them a taste of home.
Yes.
The first mission, though, is to basically get out the mission of the Department of Defense and to get out the message of the commander. Okay, so you've got somebody on there like a Rush Limbaugh who is saying things like, basically like what he did with the Lord's Army, talking about, how we were sending people down there to fight against the wrong people and all that stuff, down in Africa. Basically, the situation is that he's completely undermining the first mission when he's, like, basically slamming the commander.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because he's not really the commander-in-chief.
Eric, get
he's
them to
really
replace
American.
Him with me. I'm the slutty Bob Hope, and
hey,
the troops will love me.
I would have loved that. But the thing is that, actually, when they put him on there, I initially made a big stink about it. Not that I have any pull, of course. But, I made a big stink saying, this is a big mistake. I mean, they really shouldn't have really any majorly biased thing where somebody's going to be slamming the commander-in-chief.
Yeah, I agree. All right, honey. Thank you.
That's why I congratulate the Army on dropping their ads from Rush Limbaugh's radio show, because Rush Limbaugh dodged military service, and now the military is dodging Rush Limbaugh.
They had a better exit plan from his show than Iraq. But you know, ladies and clerk, here we go. Let's dive into the right-wing world. Dennis Miller.
Chachi.
Here we go. Dennis Miller on O'Reilly.
The black vote is maxed out in this country. They get a 95% bang for their buck. It's monolithic. And at this point, they got to find new people to scare. And that's the Hispanics. That's the renewable energy source for the Democrats. Yeah. They got to find some new people to freak out. And they're going to start freaking out the Hispanics and say they're coming for them because they've maxed the black vote out.
Wow.
That's some of that right-wing comedy there.
Wow.
You got going there from that right-wing, sexy right-wing comedy tour.
I don't recognize Dennis Miller without O'Reilly stepping on his punchlines.
By the way, we'll play it for you Monday. I heard a Glenn Beck ad.
Yeah.
I swear to God, John, this is aimed at the Sexy Liberal Show. He's promoting all his, Glenn crap. I don't know what internet TV show, whatever, something.
Whatever.
On Gangbang TV.
And he said in all his comedy, he's a comedy show. He describes it as it's a comedy show not geared towards 16-year-old socialists. Oh, no, you didn't.
Oh, is that a dig at us?
I think it is.
Wow. He's just mad because our comedy is intentional.
Yeah, exactly. In right-wing comedy, the punchline is literally somebody getting punched.
Yes. Exactly. Stuart Varney, Fox and Friends.
Yeah, is this the administration outreach on food stamps actually buying votes?
Sure.
Question number one. They are saying you are eligible, therefore you are
asparagus.
Entitled. Wait. Now, do you want an entitlement nation? Newt Gingrich said this is the food stamp president. Is this an entitlement nation where the government goes out and says, hey, you're entitled to this. Mm-hmm. You should have it.
Now,
it'll make you feel good. And by the way, when we give you this, maybe you'll vote for us because we're giving you something.
And well, as an American, I'm appalled by the entire thing.
Yeah, let's see if that works with Wall Street, since he's coddling Wall Street so, yeah. as much as he has. Let's see if that translates the votes from Wall Street. I mean, corporate welfare costs you so much more than welfare for poor people, which is less than 1% of the federal budget.
And the food stamp program was expanded under George Bush.
Yes. Exactly. And George Bush had record number of people on food stamps as well, but no white politician on the GOP ever called him the food stamp president.
Brian Kilmeade, Michelle Malkin, Fox and Friends.
And Michelle Malkin joins us every Thursday at this time. And Michelle, once again, your new website is twitchy.com, is that right?
Yeah, come on over and you'll know who said what about anything on the, on
right.
Twitter.
And Michelle, I thought that was very courageous of you. At a time when sponsors were jumping, you guys jumped in to support Rush Limbaugh.
We did, and I don't know if you noticed, but you were featured, just as I promised, on twitchy.com.
All right, wow, thank you very much.
Sounds contagious.
You bet.
Yeah, Rush a little twitchy, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if she'll ban dissent from Democrats on Twitchy, just like she did on Hot Air, her previous website.
I would have thought she was going to call it anchorbaby.com. No? That was the other one.
Noted anchor baby Michelle Malkin?
Yes.
Yeah.
Brian Kilmeade's trying to get me to do his radio show with him.
Don't do it.
Oh, dear.
Well, no, you know what?
You gotta,
do it, because you're a smart liberal
that fights back.
I
go on Fox News and I fight them and I make sure we get along, you know? It's like I refuse to be part of the hate fest. I'm going to go on there and give them a lot of love and use their own logic and their own Bible and their own constitution to explain why they're full of crap.
See, he's using the power of sexy liberal for good.
If Michelle Malkin's an anchor baby movie, she'd throw overboard and see if she sinks.
Louise Ward.
That'll be on Twitchy.
Thank you.
Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
Okay.
18 minutes.
Great.
Rev your engines, Newsmax.
18 minutes after the hour. Right back with more Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
My sister Mary in Jersey with me. She says, Steph, the other crucial difference between what Bill Maher did and what Limbaugh did is there's not a comparison in the power differential between the commentator and the target. On one hand, you have a cable show comedian with a respectable size audience taking aim at the most powerful Republican woman in the country. There's not much Maher can do to Palin. On the other hand, the de facto head of the Republican Party slams a private citizen doing her civic duty. He's a rich white guy who tells politicians what to do. She's a 30-year-old law student. It's different. As usual with Republicans, they kiss up, kick down. Thank you, Mary. All right, here he is, Rush Limbaugh.
The reason for the manufactured false, it doesn't really exist, the attempt to convince people is the Republicans have a war on women, which, again, as mayor of Realville, Republicans date women, they marry women, they have children with women.
They divorce women.
They take women to dinner.
They divorce women.
Buy women diamonds and... They open car doors for women and so yet there's this Republican war on women. And the Republican war on women wants to actually somehow reach into their purses and grab their birth control pills and take them away from them.
No, just their uteruses.
Wow. Yeah. That was pretty sexist, that entire thing.
Yeah.
Shut up. We open the car door for you and give you diamonds.
So shut up.
Why do you need policies?
Make me a sandwich.
Policies that are fair? Sean Hannity on
next week. Michelle Obama is scheduled to appear on David Letterman's show. That's right. Our first lady will be the guest of a man who famously smeared Governor Palin, saying that she had a slutty flight attendant look and that her daughter was promiscuous. Yet the first lady is still planning to be a guest. And liberal media is not only failing to point out that hypocrisy, they're giving Bill Maher a forum to justify his vile comments. Now, in an interview with ABC, Maher said, quote, "A potty mouth is not a misogynist." And when asked if he ever crosses the line, he said that the bit that he did about Palin and using the C word was one of the biggest laughs I did in my act. I did it all over the country. Not one person ever registered disapproval. And yet, according to MoveOn.org, it's Republicans waging a war on women.
There you go, John.
Where do we start?
Yeah,
where,
exactly.
Where can we begin? Okay, well, let's go back to the Michelle Obama context in the beginning. Letterman never said his daughter was promiscuous.
Right.
The daughter was promiscuous. And keep in mind, in America, promiscuous means what? Anybody getting more than you.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah, he made a joke, and he apologized profusely, and she milked it for so much publicity about his daughter. And he was making a joke about the daughter who did actually conceive a child out of wedlock and now gets paid $20,000 a speech to preach abstinence.
Yeah.
If you don't think that's worth making fun of, then you've got no business being on the air.
And let's imagine for a moment what the right would have said if the Obamas had a child with a, you know, a daughter with a child out of wedlock.
Oh,
right?
Oh, can you believe if the black president's daughter had a child out of wedlock?
Oh, yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
Well, that's just how she was raised.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Mm. All right, Charles Krauthammer to finish up.
Today he left out algae,
Obama.
Which is a pity because Jonah and I have done all that research on algae. On how it grows on turtles and sloths and other stuff. I'll spare you the details of my research.
Oh, it's on YouTube. you can get it.
What got him wound up?
I mean, he knows it's a funny word. It's sort of inherently a funny word, like booger. If you hear it, you start laughing. He says algae, he knows you're going to get a laugh.
Wow.
It's a bottom feeder talking about algae.
I could have gone my entire life without hearing Charles Krauthammer say the word booger.
Algae is potentially a source of protein and fuel.
Like boogers.
Like boogers.
One of the...
Didn't you see that Battlestar Galactic episode on the algae planet? They were able to power the ships for a whole season from that.
And they were able to eat nothing but boogers.
All right, stop it. See, they dragged us down again. We can reasonably mature all on our own.
Yeah, that was a bottom feeder talking about algae.
Yep.
Judge approves date for Scott Walker recall election. Go, Honey Badgers. Honey Badgers don't care in Wisconsin. Yeah, Honey Badgers don't give a... They just take what they want,
That's
and they
right.
want him out.
Mm-hmm. Look out, says that bird.
Honey Badger, don't care. Bob in Austin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Steph.
I
love the Sexy Liberal Show here.
Oh, thank you. We had a grand time in Austin.
Oh, great show.
Great.
Yeah,
I was calling about the guy that was talking earlier about the contraception being a choice instead of a medical issue. It seems to me that if it was just a choice, you could get the pill at the 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
You have to go see a doctor.
You can get condoms at 7-Eleven, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's sort of obvious. And the other point I was going to make was the difference between Bill Maher and Rush Limbaugh. It seems to me that Bill sort of flirts with the truth, and Rush has never seen it.
Yeah, he's not even vaguely acquainted with it.
Plus, Bill Maher's funny.
Yes, there's that. Exactly. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, we have Celebrity Stack, we have Joe Biden, audio crunchy goodness.
Yeah.
And much more as we continue Fridays with Jugalsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I believe
Stephanie Miller
is most likely a good person, but she has been submerged in Kool-Aid for so long, her foolish attitudes are shocking.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1, do the phone number. Laura in Texas. Hey, Laura, welcome.
Hi, Mama.
Hi, baby. Go ahead. Hello. We lost her somehow. I didn't do it wrong, dummy. Let's go.
I think she was too shocked by Bill O'Reilly attacking someone else's morality.
Jordan in San Diego. Hey, Jordan.
Hey, Steph. Hey, Moose. How's it going?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey. Congratulations, John.
Hi.
Congratulations.
Thank
yes.
Thank you so much. Thanks. Yeah. It's horrible. Thanks.
Oh, man. All right. So I have a StephCast subscription, and so I actually listened to yesterday's show just now, and I actually heard the woman who was attacking you guys for using the word cracker in addition to, I guess, not even distinguishing between that word and the N-word. And so, I guess, as an African-American, it's my opinion that the N-word has more weight to it than
just a skosh.
And that was all of our opinions, too.
Yeah, only historically and in worldwide opinion. But go on.
And we speak on behalf of all the present crackers.
Yes.
but I guess even that said, I just found it fascinating that, I guess, she and that website that attacked you, neither of them made a distinction that you guys are white. And I guess traditionally, it's okay to say certain things about your own identity category. So I think it's just like people just
exactly.
Want to be
offended. In other words, I can say cracker, please, but you can't.
Right.
Yes.
We can call ourselves a bunch of mayonnaise-eating crackers. You know.
That's a what?
There you go. All right.
And mayonnaise.
In my opinion, I can call myself a Pollock, but someone else is also offended by that as well. And if you are, I will come to your house and make you a gumpki, whatever it's called. Okay.
A what?
A who?
It's a dumpling. A dumpling. Yeah.
I thought that was a pierogi.
Oh, well, but yeah, there's both. There's pigs and blankets. There's gumpkis. There's
pigs and, well, pigs and blankets.
Oh, those two might be the same thing.
Oh,
all
boy.
Right. Listen, my mother's maiden name was Pushby Stylo. So
Pushby Stylo?
Back off. Yes. All right. The important thing is Mick Jagger and Keith Richards have kissed and made up.
Yeah.
Well, they not literally.
This is so exciting.
As far as we know.
No, he doesn't kiss guys with that tiny Todgers. What? Yes, they had, you remember in his book, Richards accused Mick Jagger of being unbearable and claimed they hadn't shared a dressing room in 20 years. He also mocked Jagger's manhood, saying that the girlfriend, Marianne Faithfull, had no fun with his tiny Todger.
Oh.
Mick said the book was bitchy and tedious, but now they have...
Well, he was right about the bitchy part. But yes.
Oh, they sell so many concert tickets every time they fight.
And they're getting back together for a reunion tour, yes.
And not just any reunion tour. It is the reunion tour because it's the 50th anniversary of the Stones as a band, and they have Keith and Ronnie and Charlie got together to rehearse, and they invited all the former Living Stones to come join them. Bill Wyman and Mick Taylor are going to be joining the Stones on the tour.
Wow.
You'll see all of them back together again.
I think we have a hidden microphone in their studio, actually.
I am sorry my words, Mr. Trepidus. I've been credited as having said that Mickey the Tiny told you. Nothing can be further from the truth. Yeah, what I actually said was I hope that clears things up.
Yeah, see, that was the problem, is he wrote it. He's probably been saying the same thing for years, but he couldn't understand. And now he wrote,
that's what you meant. Okay.
Bastard.
Well, Jerry Hall begs to differ, so...
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Courtney Love believes the Kermit the Frog and his gang of Muppet friends have raped the memory of her late husband, Kurt Cobain.
Oh, this is so awful.
By using Smells Like Teen Spirit in their 2011 movie.
Well, didn't...
You know, this is somebody who would, like, sell Kurt Cobain answering machine messages for a buck, okay?
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, didn't Chris Novoselic appear in the Muppet movie? I think he did.
Mm. No, I don't think he does, although he just... I'll ask him.
Or Dave Grohl, one of the two...
I think Dave Grohl does, but Jack Black is in the movie in the scene, and it's a very funny film, by the way, where they do a version of Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Right.
Look, Courtney Love doesn't own all the rights anymore. I mean, if she's complaining about it, she shouldn't have sold half the rights of his music.
Yep.
Yeah. By the way, you're going to have to see all those kiddie movies, aren't you?
Oh, God, no, no. My kid's watching David Mamet plays.
Yeah, every David Lynch film you can get your hands on.
Oh, my kid's going to be into Shakespeare and Sam Shepard and all the stuff that, like, that alienated me from my age group.
Oh, boy.
A set of steak knives.
That's what I'm going to get Henry Jack. I'm going to get him a set of steak knives.
Yeah. Hit the bricks, pal.
Here's what I want to read. Courtney Love, she has a book deal. I don't care about that one. Her assistant is shopping around a tell-all called Get Me a Xanax.
Okay, that's the one.
About the year she spent working for Courtney.
That's the book I would read. I wouldn't read Courtney Love's book.
Let's see. She apparently is promised to reveal how Courtney destroys potential romances, deludes herself about drug use, claiming she's clean and sober, and maybe how she set her apartment on fire. Well, Rebecca could write that about me.
Especially the Get Me a Xanax part.
I talk about it all the time.
I do love the video of Malibu that she did with Hole. That's pretty.
You know
cool.
What? She's got so much great music left in her. I really, really hope that Courtney Love gets it together because her last two solo albums have been solid attempts, and I think that I'd like to think her best years creatively are ahead of her.
Mostly, what I like about the video is Melissa Auf-der-Maurer wearing a very filmy dress
with
nothing under it.
He is so squeezy this
morning.
Melissa
Auf-der-Maurer.
What is wrong with you? Between Meghan McCain and stop it.
Oh, by the way, Shana would like to issue a correction.
Yes.
He says, pierogi are dumplings, gwumpki are stuffed cabbage.
Aha.
Pardon me.
No.
This particular Pollock apologizes.
You're a disgrace to all Pollocks now.
Sorry. All right, and Chris and Yankton, we don't know how many Pollocks it takes to untangle a headphone cord, but just shut up, because sometimes it gets, I can't. Okay, Courtney Love was able to rent an apartment because she got a reference letter from Bono.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go.
carries a lot of weight, actually.
Yeah,
right?
No, we...
Sure, he doesn't.
We had one time at the VH1 Fashion Awards, shortly after Cobain died, we gave Courtney Love... They gave Courtney Love an award for style, and Bono presented it. So they've been friends for a long time.
Wow.
That's when I met Bono, was that night.
Can I just say, what? Nobody likes a name dropper.
I am so jealous of you.
Jack Nicholson told me that.
You know what? Seriously, honestly, Mickey Rourke and I were having this conversation last night. Ben Kingsley and I were just IMing about how much we hate name dropping.
Awful.
Hey, man, I am proud to have been associated with VH1 before it was the channel for washed-up losers in hot tubs, all right?
All right. Can I just say how way much more entertaining the trial, the Nicolette Sheridan trial, is than Desperate Housewives?
Yeah.
Actually, exactly. All right, so executive producer Mark Terry, he was cleared of battery because she claims he hit her... Yes, and then that he fired, he killed her character
right.
because of it. He fired her because of it.
Not only through a car crash, but also electrocution. That's
there
how
might have been a little
died.
Passive aggressive.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, she crashed her car into an electric pole.
Charlie Sheen ran over her in a subway train, I think, after that.
Yeah. Wow.
All right. Kim Kardashian believes John Hamm was careless to call her stupid. No, actually, he was dead
accurate.
On. He was dead
was
on,
right
actually.
On, yeah.
Well, he was complaining about the trend towards actor-free
right.
television that
yes.
any moron can get up there. Yeah.
Talking to you.
Kardashians.
All of them.
And just be famous for being famous. But, it takes some skill to do something like, Mad Men.
It's
or be hilariously funny on, Saturday Night Live.
Ecclesiastical Mook, we often get a lot of questions for you.
Indeed, my child.
And in this case, what does the Pope smell like? Super, thanks for asking.
Sauerkraut on
Sauerbrust.
Pope?
Sauerbraten.
No. Pope Benedict smells like a mixture of lime tree, verbena, and grass, thanks to a boutique perfumer who was commissioned recently by His Holiness to create a custom cologne that only he uses.
Don't leave Rome without it.
Hey!
John Fugelsang, you are on fire this morning. You need to procreate
incense smoke.
Over and over.
We command you to never get sleep again.
You are white hot this morning.
Mission accomplished.
Angelina.
Smells like teen spirit.
Oh. Is that an altar boy or no?
Oh.
What?
I wasn't going to say.
Oh. No. What did I do? Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt are reportedly set to marry this fall. They're They're rumored to be having twin boys. They want to... Oh, no. Oh, dear God.
Oh, my God.
John, can you only imagine? You only have one. Imagine that household.
Man, it's awesome. I think they're awesome. If you had that much money, I think everybody would love to have, 20 kids of every different race if they had that much money. Because they adopt more than they have, and that's what's great. Yeah. Everyone's saying to me, when are you going to have another one? And I'm like, dude, if I am ever that stupid, I'm adopting because I want to give a home to a kid who doesn't have one. So I take my scarf off to those two. I think they're awesome for taking all those kids.
For those of us on Team Jen, I know you're asking, how are things going for Jennifer Aniston? Well, her new dog is eating all her shoes.
Oh,
I was so worried about that. Do you know, if aliens landed next to a newsstand, they would think Jennifer Aniston was the most important person on
Earth. I know. Well, listen, I have my levels. I told Christy, I'm like, I do not care about why Ashton cut his hair. That even a
And do you see me ever sending you a story like that? No.
Someone,
I know your taste.
Someone should buy Jennifer Aniston a shoe tree. It's a pot.
Yes.
Yeah.
There you go. Problem solved.
Yeah. She has a pit bull mix puppy, Sophie, who eats her Jimmy Choo's, which are roughly about $3,000 a piece.
Yikes. Yeah, well, then she shouldn't keep them on the floor.
Mm-hmm. No, and this is, we need to send her a dog whisperer or something. She purchased some less expensive shoes for Sophie to play with, that teaches her to keep chewing shoes. Oh, for God's sake. So I have to do everything. She got four pairs of heels that Sophie could chew on to her heart's content. However, the pooch seemed to prefer high brand prices, so Jennifer wants her friends to donate some Jimmy Choo's.
She's got a...
Well, that makes people feel good in this economy, doesn't it?
Buy
Jimmy Choo's
shoes.
What perfume ad scented magazine can I buy to read about that?
I shall Google it for you.
Thank you. The last time I bought a copy of Vogue, it set off the smoke alarms.
What were you doing buying Vogue?
It's a joke.
Oh, I see.
I was avoiding military service, Chris.
Okay, gotcha.
Here's how long ago I bought it. There was an article called How to Exercise Your Love Muscles to Control Your Man.
Damn.
Oh, yeah.
Ago. Oh, dear.
Men are slime, and here's how to attract one.
Steve in Kansas. Hi, Steve.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
One of the most tedious things I've found about this never-ending election cycle since Willard decided to enter the race back in 2005 is that he always points out what a great businessman he is and how this business acumen is going to save the day and he's going to be the white horse riding in.
Like the last CEO president.
I wish the Republicans would take a look at the history of the last two Republican businessmen, and I'm putting that in quotation marks, Herbert Hoover and W.
There you go.
Match. I mean, they're past. I hope we're not condemned to repeat it.
Yep, game over, man. Game over.
Game over, man.
Kathy in California, welcome to Cracker Talk.
I was thinking. When it comes to the negative words we use to insult white men, women, and African Americans, the bottom line for me is remembering that two of those groups used to be owned by the third.
Yes.
That's the difference.
There you go. Very good. The smartest girl in class, or the smartest slut in this case. Cracker slut. Okay. Love you. Okay.
46 Can we get back to honky, please? It's a lot less offensive.
All right. 46 minutes after the hour. Some crunchy Joe Biden audio goodness as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Not bad. Like frisbee golf, I'm glad I tried it once.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Fridays with new daddy, John Fugelsang, in the New York Bureau, all 3 hours.
Look at you! You have a baby! In a bar!
At a sexy liberal show. Okay.
That's right. That's right. Oh, my God. The best part about hanging out with children is they can't bore you talking about their children. That's what I know. They don't show you pictures or give you car seat advice. They're wonderful that way.
I think an L.A. sexy liberal, Hal, actually held his baby up as like the Lion King. So we're going to need to plan a sexy liberal for that one, for yours.
Yes. His little Quinta Kinte. Behold, the only thing greater than yourself. And the sexy liberal audience.
And I would lift Max and Fred if they didn't weigh 150 pounds apiece. It's my child. Ow.
Ow.
They're
osteoporosis.
Exactly.
You see.
They snap. Less. There goes my hip. let's see. Chris in Yankton says, guys, let's see. Did they list possible names for the Pope's cologne? My submission is infallible. Sort of like obsession, only more ecclesiastical. Yes, it is.
Love it.
All right.
I call it unindictable.
John Louise.
Oh, what? I'm in poor taste?
Yes, you are. Jolton Joe Biden on the campaign trail.
This is the first of four speeches I'll be making on behalf of the president and me in the coming weeks. Yay.
He hailed President Obama as a man with steel in his spine. He eats. Said he eats thunder and craps lightning. No, he didn't say that.
He says no.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking of something else here in Philadelphia.
You're going to eat lightning and crap thunder, Barack.
Simply stated, we're about promoting the private sector. They're about protecting the privileged sector.
Yeah.
Damn, I wish I thought
that
line.
We are for a fair shot and a fair shake. They're about no rules, no risks, and no accountability.
Yeah, he then praised the president for rescuing the auto industry, which was obviously unpopular with Republicans.
Was socialist.
Governor Romney was more direct. Let Detroit go bankrupt.
What did I say?
He said that. He said that what we propose, and I quote, is even worse than bankruptcy, end of quote. He said it would make GM, quote, the living dead.
Mitzi doesn't want to make cars. Mitzi doesn't want to make cars. Mitzi doesn't want to make cars.
Mitzi doesn't want to make cars.
He wants to be a dentist.
I want to be a capitalist.
I want to be a dentist. All right.
I'd like to be a dentist.
He said the guy I work with every day, the president, didn't flinch. He's a man with steel in his spine. He wasn't going to give up on a million jobs, the iconic industry America invented, and he wasn't going to give up without a fight. He made the tough call. The verdict is in. The president is right. They were dead wrong. And then he talked about the other candidates.
Mitt Romney, Rick Santorum, and Newt Gingrich. These guys have a fundamentally different economic philosophy than we do.
He's right. They're all the same. Okay, and one more on the...
You know, it's kind of amazing. Gingrich and Romney and Santorum, they don't let the facts get in their way.
He is in campaign mode, I tell you what. Joe Biden.
Senator Santorum said, it was, and I quote, a payoff to special interest, end of quote. Governor Romney was more direct. Let Detroit go bankrupt.
Right.
He said that. He said that what we propose, and I quote, is even worse than bankruptcy.
Peas and carrots, peas and carrots. So that sounded like a hired crowd scene, didn't it?
Why are you deliberately misinterpreting what I said?
Okay,
it's a great speech, man.
A choice between a system that's rigged and a system that's fair. A system that trusts the workers on the line instead of listening to the folks up in the suites.
Fairness folks, is overrated by
that. That's the choice. It's a stark choice. And in my mind, it's not even a close call.
Jason in Winnipeg, a good point on Rush Limbaugh. Hi, Jason.
Hey, Stephanie, how's it going?
Good, go ahead.
Well, good. I just wanted to say, Rush Limbaugh, you know, he's getting a lot of flack for all the comments that he's made about women over the years, and he should know quite a bit about that because you've been married, what, three times? But
yes.
Anyway,
four.
Four, whatever. Between him and Gingrich, they have been doing a lot of drilling. But anyway. But I was more proud the other night. I was watching the TV, and Michael J. Fox was on TV, and when Michael J. Fox said, just keep talking, Rush, we're figuring it out, I was really proud, number one, because he's a great guy, but also because he's my cousin. And the other thing is, I hear you saying, "Oh, too soon," or whatever, about these jokes about the Catholic Church sex abuse stuff. I say keep it coming, and that's coming from a guy that survived sex abuse from a Catholic priest. So, I say keep that shit coming.
We dropped what's that? A boom.
That's
dropping
second
an
time
S-bomb.
That the Canadians have.
You know, by the way, Sean, you made
an S-bomb.
Yeah, you made a good point about Rush Limbaugh has had a history of so much of this stuff. It's not like an isolated incident. I mean, when he just brought up Michael J. Fox, remember that? Remember him mocking Michael
J.
Fox,
yeah,
shaking?
He said that Michael J. I'll pull up the actual quote for you, but yeah, he said that Michael J. Fox was faking it and that he was exaggerating the effects of his Parkinson's.
Wow.
Yeah, and people forget to talk about women. He called Chelsea Clinton a dog, and she was like 11.
Mm-hmm. And then he tried to deny it, too. He actually tried to deny it. He actually, on his TV, this was on his TV show. Remember that in the 90s?
Yeah.
And they actually said, you know, under Clinton, he said, there's actually a White House, when they adopted Sox, he said, they also have a White House dog. And they threw up a picture of teenage Chelsea Clinton.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then Limbaugh, because he is not a man, tried to say that he had no idea that was going to be going up that photo.
Course, yeah.
So he just threw that line out randomly. He's a liar. He's a bad one. He's not a man.
Ecclesiastical.
And here's what he said. He said he is exaggerating the effects of the disease. This is really shameless of Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, yeah. And that's something. He's shameless,
that
Michael J. Fox.
I think Limbaugh's exaggerating the extent of his impotence.
I say go Army. Go Army.
What?
One last one for the my personal comedy, Jesus. A school in Dunkirton, Iowa. Yeah. Comedy.
Oh, dear. That's right. Follow me on Twitter, y'all.
They recently hired a junkyard prophet, a Christian rock band whose ministry you can run but you cannot hide, has been designated the hate group by the Southern Poverty Law. The group is fronted by Bradley Dean, the anti-gay lunatic who sued Rachel Maddow for $50 million because she made fun of his name and called him out for praising radical Muslims who called for the execution of American gays. Soledad O'Brien played a clip from the assembly in which the group introduces the topic of human-on-goat sex as it relates to the immorality of homosexuality. The group then divided students up into girls and boys, told the girls that they'll have mud on their wedding dresses if they're not virgins before they marry.
Wow. So he'll be playing at Centrum's acceptance speech when he wins?
Yeah, and apparently they've been to other schools with their little skits. All right. Sorry, we're out of time. Go to Stephanie Miller Show Facebook and see John Fugelsang and his beautiful new son, Henry Jack.
I'll be on Soledad O'Brien every day next week.
Sweet.
I'll see you in the morning.
Fabulous. Thank you, John Fugelsang.
Thank you, guys.
See you Monday on Stephanie Miller Show.